If you want
we haven't
Mass
started
Paladin,
re-recording, have we?
No, we haven't. We'll do a real intro.
Give one of these to Norm. Mm.
Yeah, Norm, we should try one of these. They're awesome.
I'm not. No,
Robbie and I both really love them.
No, take it off my iPad.
Just put it on. Put it on Gary's. It's not going to hurt you.
I'm not touching it.
All right, we're coming in 3, 2.
And we're back. It's Octobercast 2012. Norman Chan's here.
Hi, I'm eating some beef jerky. It's actually turkey jerky. Ooh. This is a basil citrus flavored.
I kind of like that. It's a little tangy. Robbie Baldwin, Wired.com. We've known you for years, Robbie. You used to work with us over at Future.
Yeah, I was at Future.
I'm going to tilt you up a little bit here.
Oh, he's tilting me up.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. I don't know if I can get the leverage needed.
You should turn that knob and then tilt it up. You know how to work a microphone. You're a professional musician.
How's that? Like that?
That sounds great.
That's that better? All right, here we go.
So we're here. This is Octobercast. We do this for 24 hours. This is our second year running. I can't believe we said we were going to do this again because it was a much better idea at the beginning than it was at the end last year. But we're raising money for Child's Play. So if you don't know what Child's Play is, wait, my recording here stopped. That's disconcerting. So if you don't know what Child's Play is, it's a charity that they raise money to give comfort to sick kids in children's hospitals around the world. No sound on Gary. Is
every
that
time.
Is that better?
No sound on me.
That's
either.
Better.
Well, I just had to turn you up.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. So far, to date, in this year's show, we're 6 hours in now, so we're a quarter of the way through. Mm-hmm. We have raised so far, I haven't refreshed the page in a while, $6,789. That is awesome.
That is wow. Amazing. Well played.
Really good. Really excited. Just, I don't even know what to say.
You're flummoxed.
I am flummoxed. Right now, we have an amazing prop that was made by our last guest, Bill Doran, Chinbeard on Twitter, proprietor at Punished Props. It is a Mass Effect 3 Carnifex Paladin pistol.
Yeah, and he's one of the best makers of these. Like, if you want a Mass Effect weapon or armor, this is one of the top guys you can go to.
What he said is that there's different guys specialize in different things, and this is one of the ones. This is the gun that he used in the game. It's one of his favorite things. So
some guys start painting Nerf guns and modding Nerf guns or existing weapons. Bill fabricates stuff, everything custom, makes molds, casts them, high quality, nicely painted.
Yeah, I didn't make it here in time for the actual show, so I'm a little bit bummed out about that. But we
have pictures of it.
We have pictures of it. Maybe Joe run up in a little bit. But the auction's going to go for another 2 hours if you're watching this live. We're going to run until 2 a.m. Pacific time, which is 5 a.m. Eastern, which is like November something if you're in the U.K. And if you want to bid, the way to bid is to send an email to tips@tested.com with the subject line Mass Effect Pistol and then the amount of money you want to bid. The bid right now, you have to beat the highest bid because there's only one. The bid right now is $1,000.
That guy came in hot with that
guy.
Bid.
Well, no, the next bid up was like 600, so it wasn't a huge leap over the. But it was a serious battle going on for this Paladin pistol. So, if you want it, you got 2 hours. Make the decision, and you got to beat the $1,000 bid. And that's Christopher is doing this for the kids. He says in the email. So there we have it. Robbie, how the hell are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Just awake, so that's good.
That's good.
I took a nap today, so I kind of feel like I'm cheating.
That was smart.
Yeah.
You're just doing it right, unlike us, who have been awake since this morning. And
did you not take a nap? Oh, no, you have a child.
I have a sick baby at home.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Man.
You're
used to being up for like 24 hours straight anyway.
Well, like, I mean,
This is like nothing.
I kind of feel
Will
like,
and
yeah,
Norm are, and you're going
to
be like.
My body is used to less sleep, but I don't know if it's used to. I mean, I was awake for about 48 hours when we actually had the baby. I mean, that was a long, long thing. But you're up on so much adrenaline. Mm-hmm. It's like an out-of-body experience. This is, I don't know if we're going to make it, but we're going to try. The caramel apple Milky Ways that you brought.
Uh-huh.
I thought this is a real find. I love when they have these kind of seasonal variants.
You like that?
I love the idea. I don't know if I'm really feeling it. Like
the flavor's kind of
it's kind of like just barely.
You got like
if you didn't tell me that this was caramel, I don't know if I'd even pick it up on my own.
Yeah, it's
but I just love the fact that one of my favorite parts of the year is when is in the run up to Halloween, we can go check out all the crazy Halloween candy that they have.
Yeah, everything's real a creative.
Pumpkin.
Yeah.
Butterfinger pumpkins are always. Will's not feeling it at all. Look, see.
I wish I had someplace to spit this out. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's not
box.
Great, is it?
I think it's
in
your stomach.
Loot in the box. We can't put no.
There's a cup.
It tastes stuff. Like cinnamon and
better,
apple.
Better in theory. Yeah, than in reality.
It tastes like an air freshener. It tastes like an air freshener smells.
On the other side of the equation, the green tea Kit Kat is one of the great. Here you go. Is one of the great discoveries of world.
I went to Japantown and bought 3 bags of those.
Yeah, you did good.
Oh, well played.
The green tea Kit Kat really does. And I didn't know this, but there is a whole gamut of global Kit Kat flavors, like all kinds of crazy flavors.
Even within the green tea Kit Kat category, one of my housemates went to Japan recently for Tokyo Game Show, came back for a house gift. He had green tea Sakura Kit Kats. It had extra flavor, a flowery flavor, a green tea.
So, like, really? Even like sub variants of green tea.
Exactly.
Kit-Kat.
Yeah. Wow. Very impressed.
The green tea base.
But, and this one, I think, is green tea matcha.
And I think even green. It's actually a green Kit Kat, which I think helps the overall
sensory
experience.
Norm, have you chosen this time to open another one of your
I am opening another pack of my precious Marvel Masterpieces 1993 Series 2. Trading cards. Now, I have no one to trade them with except myself. So that's all right.
Are these from 1993?
These are from 19... Well, no, I bought them recently, but they were made in 1993.
Okay.
I do have a War Machine. I don't know if we can get the top
cam
down.
I'm a fan of War Machine.
Now, these cards were made almost 20 years ago, and they're kind of sticky. The cardboard has not held up well.
Oh, you mean they're stickier than they are intended to be.
The cards are sticky to each other.
People are excited about those cards.
Mm.
Very excited.
I kind of wish I had another one of those Milky
War Machine
now. Something to, like, I feel like I need more of that flavor.
This one's a really good piece of art. Vulture. Not a great character, but a great piece of art.
Oh.
Vulture is the Spider-Man villain, right?
He looks like a giant hummingbird.
Yes. When you go back and watch discovered the old 1967 Spider-Man cartoons,
mm-hmm.
where they clearly just didn't give a fuck. Like, the animators was like, whatever.
It's perfect for animated gifts.
Like, Spider-Man is clearly swinging around on webs that attach to nothing.
Yeah.
Right? They can't possibly be sticking
physically
onto
impossible.
Things.
He's in the desert.
And he would do shit like he would spin a web and just turn it into like a motorboat with a functioning engine made out of spider webs.
The bat belt. Yeah.
Like, the writers were just like, it's kids. They're not going to give a shit. Whatever.
They don't know. They're
so it's kind of hilarious to watch that now. But the reason I bring it up is because the Vulture.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of the
version of the Vulture in the Spider-Man cartoons from the 60s is just it's just so bad.
How so? Paint a word picture.
Just like just a crazy dude in like a bird suit who's like just like, I'll get you, Spider-Man.
Well, that's how the Vulture is supposed to be. I mean, kinda. So they're going to cast John Malkovich as the Vulture.
Malkovich.
Were they?
Yeah.
He seems like one of those villains that would be really hard to do in like the gritty modern day movie version.
Mm.
Well, there's a lot of that in the Marvel universe.
Like, so you have
well, I mean, there's a lot of that
also
in the 60s.
Doctor Strange. Well, this one's kind of cool. Shatterstar. He has swords. And
who's Shatterstar?
Shatterstar.
Oh, Shatterstar. What's
that
for?
You know what? I can read the back.
Oh, there's backs?
He's with the X-Force.
They have information on the back.
Hailing from an alternate future where he lived in slavery, Shatterstar traveled back in time to present-day Earth seeking the legendary X-Men. But instead, all he found was trouble in the form of the New Mutants. Wait. Using his fantastic fighting abilities against the mutant group, Shatterstar quickly earned the respect and was asked to join them. Now he fights all manner of malevolent mutants alongside the X-Force, knowing that someday he must return home to free his people.
Who is your favorite Marvel character?
How is he such a great fighter
Punisher.
If he was a slave? Are they training slaves in the future? That doesn't seem like a good idea.
I don't know. I kind of feel like when you get really, really like tears and tears down into the comic book mythologies, like, again, they seem to care less about these really deep tier characters.
I got a Drax and then finish off with a Polaris.
Why is the Punisher your favorite
Polaris
Marvel character?
Hold on. What's Polaris' superpower, though? It always goes right north.
She has green hair.
Ooh.
I know. Polaris magnetism, I believe. Yes.
Ah, that makes sense. So she's like Magneto, but girl and
Magneto.
Good.
Yes. Also, my favorite, though, is Doctor Doom.
She could totally screw up
your
card.
Doctor
Doom is the best card so far.
Yeah.
Certainly in terms of like the quality of the artwork.
Does it come with gum?
No, gum.
We were hoping that it would because we wanted to find out what 12-year-old gum would taste like.
I have an interesting story about gum. And somebody from work brought me a Return of the Jedi
Wow, collector's card cards?
1984. Like, wow, it's even Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Like, it was still closed. I opened it up. Yeah. I'm like, hey, cool cards. Open up. And it still had the gum in there. So I took
was
the gum
opening
out.
It a good move from a financial perspective?
I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah. So I opened it up. Attitude. I looked. I'm like, oh, these are cool. I still have them. I had the gum. I took it out. And it was right when I was leaving my shift. I used to work at Kinko's. And the next guy was coming on. And I was like, oh, hey, you want some gum?
Oh,
and,
no.
And I showed him the cards. And he's like, oh, those are cool. I'm like, hey, you want some gum? Being like, ha, ha, ha. And then I left. And the next day when he came to work, he's like, oh, shit, man. I think that gum made me sick. I'm like, that gum is from 1984, which means it was probably manufactured in 1980. He got physically ill from eating the gum because he just kind of spaced the fact that I showed him gum from a card set and then cards from 1984.
Typical Kinko's employee.
Isn't that stuff supposed to have like a half-life of 1,000 years? Like gum.
Well, the gum lasted forever, but he... Right. It will kill
him. It probably would have made him sick in 1984 as well, don't you think?
Like, that's
it just
true.
Wasn't good gum yeah. to begin with.
Even at the best of times, playing card gum is like the chewiest,
there are a lot of dyes
crunchiest gum
in playing card like, on playing cards.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like something that the FDA would approve if they were. If
it's
somebody
coated
was like,
in flour.
I mean,
or
wasn't
cocaine.
Wasn't Bazooka Joe known for being like that would just destroy your mouth that stuff because it was just crunchy shards of glass gum.
Well, the bazooka. So there's two kinds. There's See, I always get the bazooka, which is kind of like rectangles mixed up with the double bubble, which is round, right? Double
bubble soft. Bazooka gum had the comic strip inside the gum. It sold as gum first, but you also had the comic strip
inside. And it was kind of white gum, but it tasted pink, right? Like it had pink bubble gum flavor. Yes, I don't know what that.
I think
yes.
it was.
I don't know what flavor
I think
that's
it had that
be.
Flour on there, that like anti-caking that keeps it from sticking to the
wrapper.
Is that
what
wrapper.
That's for?
Yeah.
Okay, good to
it's
know.
It's like when you put rat flour in your hands. It's the same sort of,
but
I
for
think.
Gum.
But for gum, yeah.
So it's like guar, xanthan, or something like that? Some sort
yeah.
of.
Hey, I don't think we announced that for this segment, this recording, the charity and how
we did. We did all of that while you were opening cards. Child's Play Charity.
Yeah, while you were obsessed
it's,
with
money,
Shatterstar.
They that's not good, Norm. It's
no,
too
not
early
good.
For
this
that.
Is not good.
Too early for that. Yeah, they just to reiterate. This is Oktobercast. We're raising money for Child's Play. It's a great charity. They try to bring comfort to sick kids around the world, just to make sure that Norm's comfortable that we've actually done this.
Yes. So I want to give a boost to the number.
Yeah, and if you want to donate, if you want to find out how to donate, you can go to tested.com/donate. Down at the bottom of the page, there's a chip-in widget. And what that does, if you donate to that, is sends money directly to Child's Play's PayPal account. So there's no worries about Gary taking the money and running off to Vegas and putting it all on black, which is what, I mean, let's be frank, we all really would love to do that. But we don't have the opportunity at all. It never even comes up.
I would love that.
It's tax deductible. If you live in the United States, if you're in Canada, I think it's only tax deductible against U.S. income. So that's probably a special case for most normal, good-hearted Canadians. But yeah, so the total we're at now is $6,800. Right. We have a $1,000 bid out right now on the Paladin.
Yeah, so we can add $1,000 onto that for the pistol.
Wait,
hold on.
$1,100. We have $1,100, and then we have a $1,500 immediately following that.
Wow,
somebody really like jumped the gun.
Wow. $1,500
crazy.
For the pistol?
And the guy who bid $1,500 says it's two if we promise to come to PAX Australia. Unfortunately, I don't think I can commit to that today.
That might be pushing it a little bit.
That's
as much as I would love to go to PAX Australia.
For
yeah.
us. We'd have to have a real good justification for going to Australia. But
that's a long flight, too.
I'm
not longer than this podcast.
No, it's a piece of cake compared to this podcast.
I know. Imagine
we
could do a podcast on the flight.
I know.
That's the worst idea I've ever heard.
Using
really
in-flight Wi-Fi, it would be the worst podcast ever.
Is there a record for podcasting over the most time zones?
I don't know.
I'm sure there isn't.
We could find out.
We could own that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys want to turn this into an endurance run, we can start busting out in shifts now, and I bet we could go 50, 60 hours.
That's not going to happen.
I believe in you guys.
Yeah, why not?
I busted out my first yawn about 30 minutes ago.
Oh, it's too soon for that.
Yeah, that's a bad omen.
I'm disappointed in you,
yeah.
Gary.
I'm telling you, it's going to go bad.
Robbie, what are you into these days?
What am I into? I'm into surfing.
Okay.
Are you into the Surface? You know,
you work for
Wired Gadget Lab.
I like what you did there.
I'm not a big tablet fan. I my wife has an iPad. She loves it. She uses it all the time.
It's like instead of her main computer now?
Yeah, it's kind of her main computer. But you know what? If I'm on the computer, I'm working, I'm writing, I'm editing video, or I'm editing photos, or I have my iPhone. That's and the tablet just has never, like, it doesn't fit. I bought a Kindle Fire last year.
That was a mistake, huh?
And well, all I used it for was reading.
No wonder you're not a tablet
person. All I used it for is reading. So now I'm a big e-reader fan.
So the paper white.
Oh, I love the paper white.
I'm a big paper.
It's really nice.
Yeah, yeah, I really love the paper white. I just got the Kobo Glow in the other day.
How do you like that?
It's really nice. It doesn't get dark enough. The light is too bright, and I have sensitive eyes.
That's one of those things. It's a real deal breaker on tablets and even e-readers. The last generation Kindle, that case that Amazon sold, was entirely too bright. The first gen of Kindle Fire didn't get dim enough. The Nexus 7 doesn't get dim enough.
Yeah,
I mean it's a continual. You gotta get down to just
that last like 15-20% doesn't count on tablets. Like you move it and it's getting darker, and then it stops, and then you just have this like nice little leeway to just goof off, and the light doesn't get any dimmer.
But at least what you can do on the LCD tablets is flip it to the black.
Yeah, that's how I read
text.
It.
That's kind of the low light scenario.
Yeah.
That helps a ton.
But I do love my paper white.
Yeah.
You can turn that way. You can actually
use
get that way down.
Two is exactly where I said
it. Two is the right
number.
Yeah.
And I don't ever turn it. I mean, I don't use the light during the day ever, really, it turns out. So
yeah.
I think that thing's fantastic. I'm interested to see how the Kobo is. How's their store?
You know, I did a test today. We were kind of looking Kobo versus Amazon store, and for the most
getting exclusive secrets right
maybe.
Now from the from, yeah okay.
But, you know, there was like one or two like titles missing, but for the most part, like all the major titles you want, they're in the Kobo store.
And do they sell? Is it DRM? I mean, it's DRM. Like
it has DRM, but the Kobo supports EPUB, which the Kindle does not. But because the Kindle is the biggest like e-reader in the world, like all the books, you know, everyone's, you know, libraries are the biggest issue.
Well, we say this a million times, but it's all about ecosystem with these devices.
Yeah.
If you're in the market for an e-reader, why wouldn't you go with Kindle or a Nook where you know that the catalog is going to be there?
And also, whether they're good apps.
Something like a Kobo, you're taking more of a risk of whether or not you're going to have
something. Well, if you're buying an e-ink tablet, you shouldn't buy it for apps.
Well, I'm saying the apps, the Kindle app.
Oh, right, right. The fact that there's a big ecosystem around.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a fair
point. Amazon has the best ecosystem. I mean, especially if you're a Prime member, that's it. There's no point. You know, why
the free loaner books.
Yeah, free loaner books.
Are the loaner books actually that good?
Have Hunger Games. I read like some Magna book. I mean, just random books you can find. And you know, it's gravy on top of that free shipping.
Yeah.
So it's
well, and you get the instant video and all that.
Then they have the Kindle serials.
And actually, a pretty good Prime Video in their video store as well. A very decent selection.
It's a good selection, but the worst thing is they hide the fact that they don't have as good a selection as something like Netflix by the fact that you can't browse for easily on their apps, like Amazon Prime Video on.
Right.
Like,
that's true.
Yeah, it's tough to search and browse.
Yeah, it's hard to beat, you know, Netflix. Well, Netflix has been in that game for years, so they figured it out, mostly.
It's interesting, though, because one of the things that Amazon's really good at is discovering products that you may be interested in. So you'd think that they'd apply that same logic to the movies and stuff in the instant store, but don't.
But they are kind of obfuscating the selections. Like, it seems like there's a million titles in there, but oftentimes they'll take each season of a given TV show and separate that as, like, this is a title.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know,
the
full set of Law and Order will count as like 30 titles, because it's like 30 seasons or whatever, which is kind of bullshit. But it just makes it harder to browse through things as well when you're trying to find things.
You know, when I'm watching TV on a streaming box, I literally, all I want out of that for it to work well is for it to just go to the next episode and remember where I am in the series.
Yes.
And none of the apps do that very well, except for, I think, well, the old Xbox used to do that, and the Apple TV kind of does it, but it's that kind of stuff. It seems like a really straightforward thing, and stuff just doesn't always work the
Xbox,
way you want it to.
That was the best one, the Xbox, the old Xbox app.
Until they destroyed it
before
the dark times.
You know, the Apple TV one, it works sometimes, you know. I just, when I get to the title, I just hit play, and that's, like, to me, I figured out, instead of, like, going into the selecting, because then I just hit play, and then it'll usually go to where I need to be. So as
you're saying, as a tablet person, you just don't care about the Surface, or you're
as not a tablet person.
Oh, so and yeah, I'm not really a tablet person, but I mean, I think the Surface is nice. I don't understand why there's an ARM Surface. Especially,
Will seems to think that Microsoft's play is that that's that will be the version that they'll sell the most of and will be the kind of the main iteration of this tablet.
Well, I mean, it's good for developers who now get to sell, you know, another version of their app.
Well, again, if they can be convinced that it's worth their while to put their app, you know, on that store just so they can sell, what, 6 copies of it or whatever.
Woo!
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing about the Surface, I think Microsoft's just hedging their bets that tablets are the future, right?
They know that tablets are what people are excited about right now, and they want to spend money on right now in that $500 range and a little cheaper. And if that's the language that people want, then they start their sales pitch with, this is a tablet the way we're doing it. And then they say, oh, okay, by the way, it also does productivity in Office and stuff like that.
I just think if they had started it as if they'd started the tablet and the OS separate and then merged them together, then they wouldn't have had the expectation that people are going to have when they buy this Windows tablet that all of their stuff is going to work, and it doesn't. You know, when you buy a Windows phone, you don't expect to be able to run Photoshop on it. I wouldn't expect it to do the same with an Apple with a Windows tablet at this point. And this is, it's super, super confusing. And it's unfortunate because the experience is quite good. But I just don't think there's. I mean, I don't know. I think it's gonna be a really interesting 6 months to see how this goes.
You know, what we haven't talked about at all yet is iPad Mini.
No, we haven't talked about iPad Mini.
That was another big story.
Did you go to the thing? Were you at the thing the other day?
No, I don't.
You don't.
I don't really cover. Well, I cover like Mac OS, but I don't really cover Apple that much anymore.
All right, let's talk about
talk then.
But no, but the iPad Mini is.
You know how much our audience love it when we talk about Apple.
Yeah.
So let's get some people all riled up.
Let's do just that.
It's going to wake us up.
There was a. Exactly. I'm always excited.
Yeah, no, this is a good time.
There was a lot of Apple announcements this week. iPad Mini being, I guess, kind of the main one.
I think the iPad Mini is the big one, yeah. I mean, the new iMacs are nice, but they're thin. They're Ivy Bridge.
They weigh less.
USB 3. Yeah, but I mean,
let's go run through all the products.
Okay.
Let's start with the iPad Mini. It's exactly pretty much what
it is, a smaller iPad.
It is what everyone expected coming into the event that it would be.
It's a big iPod Touch.
The only surprise that came out the day before the event was the price point, and it being $329 for the 16 gig Wi-Fi, which way surpasses the previous estimated price, which we all thought was around $250. We knew that it probably wouldn't have been $200. They wouldn't have charge the same amount as the X7 because
I didn't think they would go over $299. I'm surprised that they did.
And yeah, that, you know, we thought $250, maybe $299, but $329. And in the earnings call on the day after, they said that it has the lowest gross margins for any product that they've released in that category.
So they're basically saying that this was as cheap as they could make.
As cheap as, while still maintaining their ethos of always making money.
And the reality is, when they announced it, a lot of people went, oh, 329, no way. And yeah, they sold out their first.
Well, that's something they can control, though.
It's true, but I mean, the reality is the Nexus 7 has sold, what, 800,000 units so far?
Something like that.
They'll beat that in a week.
But it's a pretty well-established product, and it's a lower price entry point for something that people really want. I mean, people want iPads, clearly.
I've been trying to figure out who it's for, and I guess it's for people that don't have an iPad already, right? Because
I don't think
I am the biggest Apple sucker in all of Christendom, and even I am saying, you know what? I don't need this thing.
No.
I don't need. I'm desperately trying to figure out a way in which I do need it, but there's between my iPad and my MacBook here and my iPhone, I just don't need something in the middle of all those
things. You don't need a fifth screen?
You don't need the fifth screen.
I don't need the fifth
and
screen.
And it's funny because they started that event talking about all the education applications for iPad and how it's great for education. And that was one of the reasons that they didn't sell that many iPads. They actually sold fewer iPads, I think, in the past quarter than the quarter before, was because all the schools, it wasn't the buying season. It wasn't the holiday season. The schools are only purchasing way before the school season starts in bulk, because that's where they actually offer discounts.
Yeah.
But iPad Mini, that size is actually not very good for the textbook formats. It doesn't conform to a lot of those standards.
And I'm a fan of that size in general. When I first saw the Nexus 7 and the Kindle Fire, I was like, yeah, this size makes sense.
Nexus 7 is a lovely size. I mean, it's something you can hold in your hand. It's comfortable. It's not going to give you some sort of wrist damage if you grip it with one hand for an extended period of time.
So who is this thing aimed at? Is it aimed at people that want a tablet they just don't want to spend $500?
I think
is
that's
it just
exactly
about making a cheaper tablet?
It's to hedge. It's to cut off the knees of the $250 Kindle Fire and Nexus 7, I think.
Yeah.
At $329. And now they have price points. They have $299 for the iPod Touch.
Right.
They have $329 for the iPad mini base price. Of course, goes all the way up to $800.
Right.
And then they have $399 for iPad 2, which they're still selling.
Which is somehow still in there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's the confusing part for me. If they're selling this for new iPad owners who are not in the market for, who want to spend a little less, because iPad 2 is for people who don't want to spend $500. Why do they still have the iPad 2?
Because the screens are cheap and they probably have a whole bunch of them to sell still. They did the spin down on the CPU. So, yeah. I mean, clearly they intend to sell that for a long time. Although I guess it's probably the same guts on the
iPad
2.
They still sell it because people will still buy it.
Yeah.
And you know what? iPad 2 actually has the longest battery life of any of the iPads.
And yeah. I bet their margin is fantastic on the iPad 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. So iPad mini 1024/768 screen. It is 7.9-inch, which I guess was their clever way of saying, 9.7 reverse. 7.85 probably, grounded up. Very thin edge bezel. So in a lot of the photos and videos of people holding it, the thing with it, narrower bezel than the Nexus 7, which yes. I already have problem holding with one hand with the thumb because my thumb will hit the screen.
And it's wider than the Nexus as well.
And it's wider, so it's tougher to palm in the back of your hand, theoretically. Mm-hmm. I haven't held it yet. So easier probably to hold on one side, but no mention of any, thumb recognition on the bezel. Mm-hmm. So you're going to tap something on the side.
When Phil Schiller was holding that, all I could think was, God, if his hand hadn't been big enough, do you think they would have broken each of his fingers and stretched them out like a quarter of an inch so he could palm it? Because it was real close. Like, dude doesn't have a big hand, and it was real important that he'd be able to hold it up like this without using some sort of Velcro or sticky tape or something. I don't know.
They have that spray, like for football players. It's like a sticky,
grippy spray?
Yeah, it's like a grippy spray.
Maybe that's what they use of all the ads.
Gecko spray.
Because I don't know anyone who would hold a tablet vertically and grip it and not be tired.
But that's the thing is, I think Apple decided to go slightly bigger, even for a mini tablet. So let's do the bigger screen, and so you can hold it in one hand. And yet, when you see them holding it, it seems like it's a little bit of a stretch still to actually hold it comfortably in one hand.
To grip it that way, all the way, full width. Right. If you grip it just on its side, maybe it's easier.
Right.
And it looks like it's fairly light.
I think it's a bad sign that I don't want it.
It's lighter than the Nexus.
So
I don't think it's for you. I think it's for people who haven't bought a tablet before.
I think that's what it's. People that haven't committed to jumping into tablets yet and don't know what a Nexus is or are weirded out about Kindle or whatever, but like they know the Apple, the iPad brand. Oh, here's a little dinky one that is less scary and I can afford it.
In terms of the financials, it's a bad sign that you don't want it, only in the sense that if Apple release this product expecting it to be another category for MacBook Airs, iPhones, laptop phones, tablets. But it's not. It's another part of their tablet lineup. So it's just like if someone has an iPod, yeah. It's not like they're going to have an iPod and an iPod mini. They pick one or the other. So for them, it's a decision of whether they think they can sell more of the iPad minis or the full-size iPads. And if they're really pushing for the minis, their margins are lower on that. So that would hurt them in the next quarter, and they're still at the top of the cost curve.
But I think they just want to make sure they don't have that there is an encroachment at that size.
Oh, they're staking their claim.
Yeah. I mean, that's clearly it.
I have friends with kids who the parents have iPads and they bought their kids Kindle Fires because they're smaller, yeah. they're less expensive, they give it to their kids, and I'm pretty sure they're going to. And then I've already had people come up and tell me that they're going to get their kids the smaller iPad.
And I'm
going to give them the iPad mini because we already have all the iOS stuff. They like it better than the,
right.
The
photos
the Nexus.
Have come across and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, everything. And then and AirPlay and then all the, they're already part of the ecosystem. And you're like, hey, here's a smaller one for the kid.
It's
cheaper. It's $300, $350.
I think that the real product that this is going to destroy, and I think what will eventually happen is that the Nano will end up being a full-blown iOS device that you can run actual apps on, and that the iPod Touch will have its lunch eaten by the iPad Mini. I think the iPod Touch is short for the world.
No, best-selling product, iPod Touch.
Yeah, that's not going anywhere.
No, iPod Touch, you can't go anywhere. Like, it's not pocketable. The iPod
what I'm talking about is a nano sized device that is an MP3 player that runs apps on a smaller screen, another smaller screen
running full size full app,
bigger phone, bigger iPod. You don't think so?
I don't think so. I don't think you're going to get Facebook on
the
nano.
What they're charging for the iPod Touch is insane.
Well, it's still their best.
I understand it was their best seller previously, but there's a reason they're still selling the fourth generation one.
I think no data plan, $299. Yeah, it's higher than I think it should be.
$30 more, you can get an iPad.
For the 32 gig one, yep. I think a lot of people are still buying iPod Touches. I don't think it's smart to buy iPod Touch and iPad Mini.
It's only a matter of time before we see somebody jogging with an iPad Mini. Nope.
I think to some extent you can see these products cannibalizing one another a little bit. But I think Apple would rather be cannibalizing themselves and have all the market absolutely. And worry about losing sales to whether it be Nexus 7 or whatever.
The Kindle Fire.
Yeah, we'll be getting, hopefully we'll be getting iPad Mini in. So we'll let you know.
I ordered one. So we should be good.
Yeah, so we should be good. And maybe
I can pretty much predict that review right now. Yep, it's a smaller iPad, and that's about it.
Well, it's the fact that
there isn't really any like
screen's okay, camera's kind of crappy.
The expectation that it is going to be a smaller iPad, the experience is going to be just a smaller iPad is we're more sure of that than when the first iPad came out and people said it's just a bigger iPod Touch because. The difference between iPod Touch and iPad was significant.
Well, the difference was that there were custom apps for the iPad, for the design for
and
that
also,
size screen.
Having a 9.7-inch screen versus having a 3.5-inch screen was a big difference.
So the big questions
in terms
I
of
have,
what you could do.
The questions I have are, how is it going to, like, how are the apps designed for what is now a dramatically higher resolution screen going to work on the 1024x768 screen
and
a smaller size? Mm-hmm. And how comfortable is that? I can't believe I'm going to say this because it's a really lame thing to say. But if it's not comfortable to hold, then it fails as having, because the whole benefit of having a smaller tablet is that you can hold it easier and is more comfortable for you to hold.
So
that's the only reason to do that.
Without having using it, we can get a better estimation of what the usage is going to be like that because we know what the software is going to be like. It's iPad software. iPad 1, it's going to look like iPad 1, maybe a little higher fidelity because it's a smaller screen, better pixel density, whatever.
Probably a better quality screen at this point.
Probably a better quality screen. But the way I use a small, light, one-handed tablet is very different from the way I use a two-handed, larger tablet. I will walk around with a Nexus 7 and glance at email. I will not walk around with the iPad because the iPad is kind of heavy, but I will sit down in bed and read with the iPad and watch a movie, but I won't do that. You know, it's different use cases. And iOS right now is not very good for walking around with one hand and glancing at things.
But so you've already, seriously, you're kind of like me in that you've already got an iPhone, you've got an iPad. Can you, if you have an iPad mini as well, can you really see that? Is there a place for it in between those two devices?
With every new
times when you're going to want to use that and not one thing or the other?
With every new device across all ecosystems that I own, it does something well. So if I keep on using it, so it eats into usage on another device. So having Nexus 7, I use the iPad less because I'm no longer checking email on the iPad.
Right.
I'm only checking email on Nexus 7 because I can glance at it and calendar stuff. Having the iPhone, I'm using the iPad less in bed because the new one is lighter and I can actually watch video, hold it up in bed and not have worry about it hitting my face.
Right.
I don't know what I would do with the iPad.
The classic kind of...
Are you laying on your back and then holding it over your face?
No, what you do is you lean up and then it kind of topples forward and back.
Yeah, so you know when you lay in your bed and you hold something up, right? I watch like all my MLB replays in bed with the phone now because it's so light. That
you basically this is what I do
arm.
Is I
you lock
find
the screen.
Case, lock the screen. I turn it sideways, and then I turn sideways, and then
I tried
watch
that with my
like
iPad.
That.
I have glasses on, so I can't do that.
Oh,
it's horrible.
I tried that, and it got.
But that's how I read the paper. Wise, I prop it up. I don't like turn the screen on that. But I just lay down, and then I have it in landscape mode. I just lay in bed, and then.
So I could lay in bed on my side and read was the whole reason I wore contacts that you could sleep in at night for years and years. Mm-hmm. And then my eyes stopped working with those. So I had to get the eyeballs on. And now you can't lay on your side because you're going to like stretch out the frames and weird things.
You should get those basketball
like
players
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar glasses.
Like goggles? Yeah,
like goggles. You should get some goggles.
Hey, maybe the iPad Mini will be a good bathroom computer.
As we've known, you have many, many issues with that.
No, that's not. I do not take that.
I personally think that's exactly the sort of thing it is good for, but
good for the shitter.
Here's the thing: is if they had released a Retina iPad Mini with a high resolution screen, I probably would have switched to that and ditched my 10-inch iPad.
And
were it Retina, I'd probably be right there with you. But that's why I feel like I'm probably going to wait for the next one that will more likely have.
So the long-term question is this going to stay an entry-level product, or is it going to be a full-blown competitor? So we're going to see an 8-6X whatever with the new iPad Mini.
So given what Apple has done previously with, I'm only going to say iOS products, they have never replace an iOS product and increase its price for what you're going to get in that storage capacity.
I don't think they're going to. I think that would be a gamble on the cost of everything coming down and the screen getting cheaper.
And they have only done that because a lot of people thought that when the iPad would go Retina, that the price would go up, like iPad HD or whatever, or iPad Pro. The only time they've done that is with the MacBook Pro Retina, is when they kept the same form size, but raised the price, jacked it up. And they argued they could do that because it was a big revamp.
Well, and they changed from a traditional storage hard drive to an SSD and a bunch of other stuff at the same time.
So I think if they go Retina, and they probably will, whatever resolution with the iPad Mini, two years down the line, it'll probably be the same price.
Yeah. I am kind of surprised that they also kind of
they need
snuck
somewhere
in
to go
that.
Up at the beginning.
Yeah.
The Mini, everyone kind of saw that coming. Ironically, what was more surprising is the fact that they also snuck in that stealth spec bump for the current iPad, the regular one.
You mean the fourth gen iPad?
The fourth gen iPad.
Right.
People that bought their iPad 3 brand new 6 months ago, I guess, are now feeling a bit disgruntled.
The reaction on Twitter was very, very. It was really very split.
It's amazing how. I mean, I get it. We're used to these things being on a yearly cycle. So when Apple kind of jumps the gun, you can kind of feel like, well, this one didn't get to be the top of the range for very long. But like a lot of people are acting like Apple had just actively deactivated their iPads or something. It's like, oh, you've suddenly made my iPads. This was a great device 5 minutes ago. Now it's a piece of shit because there's another one out there which is slightly more powerful.
Well, but it wasn't just the dock connector because it made sense, launching iPhone 5 and having the 8-pin USB cable, 8-pin, Lightning.
Why?
We're calling it the 8-pin because Lightning is a
stupid branding.
Marketing name. The 8-pin USB connector.
Everything's a marketing name.
It is.
USB,
you got to draw the line in the sand somewhere.
It could be universal serial bus, but we call it USB. I mean, that's...
There are standards.
Robbie, don't... It's too early in the show to be picking holes in our crazy logic.
All right.
So it made sense for them to go to the 8-pin, refresh the iPad, but they did a little more than that. So they upgraded the LTE chip, which also kind of makes sense because they want to sell in more places. But they changed the processor to be the A6X. And they claim it's the double speed. So it's probably based on their custom architecture, not the Cortex A15, but their custom spin of the A9 that's in the iPhone 5, but bumped up.
More X's.
Yeah. Clock speed bumped
up. People were upset. And I talked to a bunch of them because I understand it, and I also don't understand it. Like, it's one of those things. And I think that the reason people get upset about that stuff is because there's not too many places where a normal person can own the best of something, right? Like if you want to go out and buy the best car and you're a normal dude, even like one of us, you can't go out and buy a Ferrari. None of us are going to go buy. Well, maybe Gary will.
People
at some
don't
point
buy
in the future.
I mean, unless there's a body change, buying last year's, 3 Series is the same as going to be this year's.
But
there are some people that also have to have the status thing for them to be able to say, I have the best, the newest, the latest, the top of the line thing.
It's part of the. This is going to sound crazy because I'm going to say it's a little bit egalitarian. But part of the thing that happens with the Apple stuff is you can go out and you can actually get the best one that's available.
Well, it's a lot of reason why we buy day one.
Yeah, for $500. And that's an attainable amount of money. So when 6 months after your product comes out, the thing that you thought was going to be the best for the next year, they release something that's better, people are going to be sore about it.
But it is best in all the ways that matter. The screen and the weight. The things that I would care about.
Well, it's not the best in the weight because the iPad 2 was lighter.
I'm saying in terms of the third gen and fourth gen.
Yeah.
The things that I would have wanted from a next gen, that would make me feel bad about this one, nothing's changed. The screen is exactly the same, and the weight is exactly the same. So unless it was dramatically lighter or thinner, I don't care.
And again, I'm a serial updater of products. I buy the new iPhone every year. I have bought the new iPad every year it's come out. This new one, I'm like, you know what? The one I've got's fine. But I don't need to spend another $500 for a slightly faster iPad with a Lightning connector.
And it makes perfect sense for Apple because they want to... I don't think they could have got had time to develop a new iPad by March of next year that would not have been anything different from this fourth gen.
There's not going to be another iPad in March of next year.
No, I think they're shifting the cycle.
This is the shift to the holiday.
They want to get everything on the holiday gift cycle.
Now that they've shifted to now that we theorize that they're shifting to a holiday cycle, that gives them an extra 6 months of R&D. So next holiday,
the next iPads,
18 months after this iPad 3,
bitches,
right? They can actually go what iPad 2 did and get the thinner and lighter.
Hey, man, everybody laughed when we said, hey, I wonder if Nintendo's going to use a lenticular screen to make their 3D thing. And then they fucking did. It's just like cereal boxes.
Hey, I like lenticular.
I think it's awesome. I love my 3DS. I think it's really good. So, yeah, that's Apple stuff, the iPad thing. New iMacs.
That's the thing I'm actually excited about because that's what I have been looking to upgrade for the longest time.
And
well, they had. I think there was a couple rumors, like a few months or two out, but nothing concrete. Because everyone just said that they were massively overdue for an update.
Was the only thing that made it likely.
I mean, I think everybody assumed that there'd be Ivy Bridge and the old body.
The thing I'm pissed off about the new iMacs, and especially the way they presented it with that video.
Oh, the little Houdini.
It's so misleading. In the same way that the original iPad was designed. The original iPad, if you remember, not like the 2, had like...
It was a square edge.
It was a square edge and then bulge.
Right.
But in all the ad photos, it just showed that square edge. Yes, so a lot of people thought that's how thin it was all the way across.
And when they unveiled the new iMac, the angle they showed it from, it was like, how could it possibly be that
thin? It was just that square edge.
Phil Schiller's very careful in how he does this. Yeah. I'm not going to show you all the way around because you'll see it actually just going to bulge out.
If you look at the profile, the history, the timeline of the iMacs, it bulges quite a bit.
Well, of course it's going to bulge because it can't be that thin all the way across the back. You'd be an idiot to think anyone could make a computer that thin.
You say that now, but in 3 years, we're going to be painting them on the walls.
Right. Robbie's point.
And in 3 years, yes, but today we know they can't do that yet. And so, but the thing is, from most angles, it's still going to have, it's still going to create that illusion of looking super thin.
What is the point of having a super thin and light desktop?
That's the other argument. It's a desktop which mainly sits there, and the weight's not an issue.
The only time you notice how thin it is when you put it on the desk the first time.
But aesthetics do matter.
I don't know.
And when I occasionally do have to cart that thing down to the Genius Bar because it breaks and it's not user serviceable, I will appreciate the lighter weight.
So, I'm really
27-inch iMac is heavy.
And here's something that they didn't do, obviously, because they took the optical drive out. And this is the first iMac without a built-in.
None of the new computers have optical drives.
Is it true
everything
that Apple
is...
no longer sells a computer with an optical drive in it?
No, the Pros have optical drives.
Yeah, I know, but the Pros, even they haven't been updated in a long time. But none of their laptops and current like all-in-one desktops have optical drives now, right?
No, everything that they introduced is sans optical drive.
Since 2011, I think.
So no optical drive. Now, do you think people are happier? I mean, obviously having a really thin desktop iMac is really sexy for advertising purposes, marketing purposes. But a lot of people buy those as their only TV screen thing, and they play videos on that. And Phil Schiller said that people have stopped complaining about Apple not putting Blu-ray drives on their computers. Do you think people would be happy if they somehow had a great interface and a built-in Blu-ray player?
Joey is really the unsung hero of this podcast.
Holy crap, he's doing push-ups. Look at him go. Guns
for kids. He's not coming in here and saying, guys, I'm doing more push-ups. He's just quietly doing it.
I wish he would come in here and say that so I could draw attention to it.
But I keep spotting it. I want to make sure that people appreciate that this is going on.
Hold on, don't do any more of that. That's copyrighted.
Oh.
What is the number right now? I can't read it.
The chat is saying...
What is that up to? I can't see it from here.
1,400.
No,
that's not right. That's not right.
400 and something, though.
If you want to tell everybody on the internet how many push-ups Joey Fumelli is doing right now, the hashtag is guns4kids. He's at 456.
That's incredible.
He's 44 short of halfway there.
So he's almost halfway there, and we're barely a quarter of the way. We're just over a quarter of the way through the podcast. So I think he's way, way ahead of schedule.
Yeah. But, you know, it is tough when you're sleep deprived to do push-ups.
Really?
Maybe it's not.
Why don't you go do some push-ups right now, Jen? You're wearing sweats.
No, I'm not wearing sweats.
Well, you're wearing a sweatshirt.
That's
well, at least by staying active, he may be keeping his.
Yeah, he's more awake than I am.
Yeah,
right
that's
now,
the thing.
Sure.
We're just sitting here.
So, IMAX. So you don't think, you know, Apple doesn't care about Blu-ray.
Yeah, well,
because they're selling stuff.
Here's the deal: like a lot of people don't really care about Blu-ray.
Blu-ray is a living room format.
I buy Blu-ray discs on Amazon because I want the best quality.
I have,
but I never play them because it sucks to play it on the PS3.
I bought a PS3 so I could play Blu-ray. I have three Blu-rays.
What'd you get?
I have To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay.
Inception and Batman, the second Batman. I forget.
Those aren't great Blu-rays.
Dark Knight's a pretty good Blu-ray.
Did you? I don't care if they're great Blu-rays. Those are movies I like.
Those are good movies. Yeah.
But yeah, I was just like, I'm not gonna buy any more. Really? I got like Planet Earth from Netflix.
Yeah,
and I've had it for like 2 months.
I was a voracious consumer of Blu-ray when it first came out, and now
you're buying a lot of stuff.
I still buy them
right?
every now and again, but like they just kind of sit around because I know that putting the disc in, like, it's going to be a laborious procedure to even get to the start of the movie. Yeah, so all this bullshit.
That's the thing. Some updates. I want a good interface. I don't know what the state of standalone Blu-ray players are, but I want a good Blu-ray player that can just pop in.
Yeah, I don't.
But what you're saying, I mean, whether you don't personally, I mean, people, there are a lot of Blu-rays being sold. I mean, Amazon moves a lot of Blu-rays.
I mean, Avengers.
It's not DVD numbers.
Set new records. I mean, clearly people are still buying them. But I feel like, you know, we are transitioning to this kind of ethereal cloud digital streaming world. Again, the idea of having a big bookshelf full of CDs seems absurd to us now, right? Because all our music just lives digitally on an iPod or whatever.
Because the quality is the same.
That. I feel the same way about books now. The idea of like a huge bookshelf where I can have all the books just on my Kindle or whatever. And I'm starting to think as I buy new Blu-rays, I'm like, I'm just buying something that in a year or two is just going to seem ridiculous.
I have tons and tons of DVDs somewhere. Like just I have like Cassavetes like box sets and like all you know like all these like box sets from the directors. Never
Yeah,
watch
they
them
just
now.
Take up space.
They're just taking up space. I'm like, I'm not getting rid of these. They're nice. Yeah.
Nice to look at.
I just cleaned out my garage and I went through the whole DVD thing and literally had the multiple hundreds of DVD discs in a collection. And I'm like, fuck, I need to rip all of these and put them on a hard drive someplace so that then at least I don't have to store them anymore or I can store them in a more compact form. But I kind of don't want to do that with Blu-ray again. And I understand that. But on the other hand, the other side of that argument is the Blu-ray experience is much better than the
streaming.
Like I have a 58-inch TV. It's a big enough TV that you can see the difference between Apple TV and Xbox and a Blu-ray disc. And it only really comes into play late at night when it's dark out and there's no glare or anything like that. But when I do sit down and watch The Avengers, I'd rather watch the Blu-ray than a kind of crappy stream. And when I bought, I did buy. For reasons that'll become apparent next week, Moonrise Kingdom the other day. It's a brilliant movie. You should all watch it. And with that came an Amazon Instant Stream that you could watch. You buy it and they ship the DVD, the Blu-ray to you. But while it's coming, you get the rental on Amazon for 24 hours. And I thought, oh, that's awesome. I'm totally gonna watch this tonight. And it's ridiculous because there's a disc coming with the same movie on it, but I couldn't.
That's for people who like Blu-rays for archive purposes. If I want to enjoy it, and I'm not going to watch a movie four times in a week, I'll wait for the Blu-ray and get the best experience.
I understand. So I was looking for other reasons, but the quality on that Amazon copy, which was the SD version, I'm sure for contractual reasons, was really, really bad. Like sub shittiest Netflix you've seen. Like if you go in and unplug the cable modem a few times, plug it in, like it was that bad. It looked like a 1995
digital
stream.
You know, they tried to solve this thing with putting the digital copy in with the Blu-ray. The digital copy would often be really shitty quality.
Well,
I don't know if, because I haven't looked at Ultraviolet,
it's
if that's
terrible.
Any better, but I'm guessing it's not good.
No, so
the locker stuff is bad.
Have you used any of that at all? Probably not if you have any desks.
No, not really. But here's like for us, for me, I'm like, well, I put like Inception in. I'm like, look how nice it looks. And my wife's like,
yeah, well.
And unless, you know, and she's like, so? And I'm like, but no, look how much, because, you know, we had the big, like, 58-inch, you know, Samsung TV. And, you know, and the only time she's really upset is, like, if, you know, we're getting a slow stream from Netflix and it looks crappy. She's like, what the hell's going on? But most of the time, it's totally worked for her.
Oh, the slow stream is
quality
that bad.
It's just like, oh, my God, 16.
No,
see, that's the thing for most people.
For most people, like,
even the slightly shitty quality stream is good enough. It's only a relatively small number of people that appreciate the difference between the HD stream and Heroes, what you actually get with like a top quality Blu-ray.
When my parents got a widescreen TV and I had to explain why they shouldn't use the stretchy thing, I ended up going to YouTube and I found that clip that was on the beginning of the Independence Day VHS. Remember when you could buy VHS? You could buy either the letterbox one or the widescreen anamorphic one.
Yeah, those were the days.
Those were good times. And at the beginning of that VHS tape, it said, there was a little clip that ran. It said, if you're not watching the widescreen version, you're missing half the picture. And it shows, zooms out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I found that clip on YouTube. I sent it to them, and they're like, oh, I totally understand this now. You just have to show people that stuff, I think. And then they get it.
Yeah, but even when they understand it, they still feel like, the problem is that most people still feel like the whole TV's not being used.
Well, there is that. I mean, they go.
Like my dad is like that. I've showed him.
Edges.
I have showed him.
I have a Philips 16:9 or what CinemaScope TV I can sell you. Because those are full widescreen.
Wow,
real widescreen. 2.35:1.
Is it?
No, your dad.
No, my dad has a widescreen TV and he's had one forever, and he still watches it zoom. If there's like a little bit of black, he'll just zoom in.
Yeah,
so he's watching like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I go over to the remote and I'm like, and I back it out. And I'm like, look, you're missing this much of the movie. He's like,
The thing is, you can't. The thing is, nobody likes that
parents,
guy that
they
comes
just don't
over
understand.
And tells them why they're not appreciating something properly or whatever.
So I stopped that.
I was at someone's house recently, and they had that motion flow bullshit on their TV turned on because that's just how it was set out of the factory, and they don't know any better than to turn it off.
Oh, that's
and
terrible.
It is agonizing.
The soap opera
to watch content with that soap opera effect, and I desperately So when they were out of the room, I got the remote and I fucking fixed it for them. I don't know if they noticed it or whatever, but I felt like I did a good. Thing.
Yeah. You're a good person.
That day,
You know, there's one other Apple product we can talk about from this announcement this week before we let you go, Robbie. The 13-inch Retina.
The Mac Mini?
The Mac Mini.
The Mac Mini didn't get updated, did it?
Yeah.
Updated. Oh. It got the same price.
It was an by the way.
It did. Yes.
It's the opposite of one more thing. It's by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got this thing. Yeah. Make a server or something.
It's pretty capable, right?
It's like an iMac
it's
without
the,
screen.
The last new product with the FireWire.
What are people
connection?
Really?
Yeah.
They don't FireWire.
I'm interested to know what the primary use case for the Mac Mini is.
You know,
a
lot of people use that in museums as the computers for a lot of those technical displays.
It's the official computer of museum.
Because they're small and don't generate a lot of
interactive displays.
HTPC, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of HTPCs also.
And then a lot of small business servers. If you just need like file sharing and stuff like that, it's relatively easy to set up, and it'll do backup. If you're a Mac house, then it backups your Mac.
Right.
It backs up your Macs.
Right.
MacBook Pro 13-inch Retina.
That seems maybe more interesting because the 15-inch one is pretty ungainly, but 13-inch is a little.
It's a half pound bigger. It's a half pound heavier than the
now,
Air.
My question.
I'm still holding out for Retina on the Air, which I think maybe next year.
That's what we're
MacBook
Pro 13-inch is 2560x1600, so it's 2.5K resolution. It's the same resolution as my 30-inch monitor at home, but on 13 inches, which is impressive, but it's going to be the same scaled, best scaled to fit on Mac OS. So it's going to look like, what is it then? What is 2560? 1280x800.
Yeah.
Screen. So you're not going to get more real estate. Text is going to look sharper, but windows aren't going to be bigger.
Well,
websites aren't going to be rendered.
It's
bigger.
You know, when the 15-inch Retina came out, I was we got it into the office and it had the linen startup screen. I went over and looked at it while I was having all right, that's whatever. And I went back, sat down, and then they brought up a photo and they're like, come here, and I looked at it and I was like, oh crap.
No, photos look great.
Yeah,
photos and video. Yeah,
it looks beautiful. It looks amazing. It doesn't look amazing enough for me to
$1,000 more.
Yeah, to get rid of my MacBook Air, which I adore because of the weight and the speed and everything.
So it's about half a pound more than the 13-inch Air.
Bigger power brick though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robbie, would you care to do a Mad Libs?
Oh, we gotta do a Mad Libs before we finish.
All our guests, we asked them to.
All right.
Oh, this is gonna be real fast. And if you hesitate, I'm just gonna pull a card.
The last one wasn't that great because it was a little too esoteric. We do encourage you to
blue.
Let the scatter.
I wasn't sure if I was allowed to
yourself swear
on this, and then I turned on the stream, and Gary was dropping F bombs like.
Oh, you can swear here.
Yeah.
Fuck,
and I'm like, what? Well, all right, there we go.
Yeah,
I was going to ask, but
it's tested after dark. It's 1 a.m. We can say whatever the fuck we like.
if you,
it's like
if
Cinemax
you,
After Dark.
If you have, so. If you, sl- if you're slow, no, leave your clothes on. For the love of God.
Would you care for outer space, Mad Libs from outer space, or Monster Mad Libs?
I'm gonna go with outer space.
Always a good choice.
Because Monster seems not to have worked out last time. I was, yeah.
I just want to say that I just pulled two cards from random Cards Against Humanity, and one is the mere concept of Applebee's registered, and the other one is Fuck Mountain. So. Arrange the
Applebee's
gamut there.
The worst thing in the world.
If you're too slow, I'm pulling a card from cards.
For now.
Okay, this one is called Is Space Travel Possible?
Maybe.
I like this.
In Burbank?
We're going to start with a verb ending in ing.
Humping.
I like where this is going.
I like the way your mind is working already. I have a good feeling about this one. A number.
13. Oh, I should have said 69. 69. Change that.
I'm letting you have it. Okay. The name of a person, female.
Oh, Salma Hayek.
Oh, no.
All right.
I don't know.
This is the beginning of a penthouse forum.
A piece of furniture.
I never thought it would happen to me.
Ottoman.
Ottoman?
This looking sounding pretty good so far.
Damn.
I like it. A verb, past tense.
Swam.
A noun.
Cow.
God, I wanted to pull a card.
Noun.
Bed.
Noun.
Rocket ship. It's too late.
I got it.
I think the new rule should be that all the nouns have to come from Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, you have a
Fuck Mountain.
Yeah, Fuck Mountain.
A plural noun.
Fuck Mountains. There.
Okay.
Is that a statement or a noun?
A little bit of both.
Adjective.
That's actually I'm sorry?
Adjective.
Catastrophic?
Catastrophic.
Catastrophic urethral trauma is what this card comes from.
Wow.
Think about that for
number.
A minute.
Deadly cut.
27.
Verb ending in ing.
Ramming.
Oh, this could go bad places.
I'm liking it so far. Adjective.
Mysterious.
If you're just joining us, this Mad Lib is to benefit Oktobercast.
This is for kids.
It's for plural the kids, noun. Guys.
Plural noun. Cars.
Person in the room.
Norm.
Oh, God damn it.
Always Norm.
Because I'm disappointed because last year when I showed up, you guys had started earlier, and Norm was a mess. It was awesome.
Oh, it's Norm was Norm wrecked?
It's coming.
He was pretty wrecked. Was and I was here for like a couple hours last year, and he was like...
Oh, yeah, you came in right before Patrick last year, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
animal.
Sorry. Animal? Starfish.
Well, if you want to see Norm wreck, just tune back in about 4 o'clock tomorrow. In the
and
afternoon.
Finally, adjective.
I don't have any adjectives.
I'm not giving all my good ones away.
Did I say mysterious?
You said mysterious.
Oh, that's the only adjective I know. Godly.
You also did catastrophic, I think.
Is space travel possible?
I can't wait.
Get it out, Gary.
When people begin humping in outer space,
yeah.
They will have to spend 69 years just getting to the nearest solar system.
69.
Selma Hayek.
Oh.
Okay.
At first, travelers will probably be frozen and put in an ottoman. Then when the ship arrives... The travelers will be swam. Eventually, scientists may invent a cow transporter like the one they used on the TV show Bed Trek. It will break Bed down all Trek? Parts of the human rocket ship into atoms and fuck mountains. Then these will be broadcast like catastrophic TV waves and reassembled 27 miles away. If this doesn't work, engineers are ramming now, trying to perfect a mysterious drive that will run a spaceship faster than the speed of cars. I kind of like that. Faster than the speed of cars.
Yes, and I still have a minute to spare.
But of course, scientists such as Norman Chan
more, but wait.
Say this is a lot of starfish wash. So maybe humans should forget space travel and try to solve the godly traffic problems on Earth. I'm going to do the next one, by the way, and I'm going to do all filth.
You're going to make it.
And I
want to
see how
possible.
That one goes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, Norm has to.
I will. I will prompt.
Robbie Baldwin, Wired.com, the Nash North American Scum.
North American Scum. I got a band.
Yeah, you
play in San Francisco.
Yeah, you're here all the time.
Yeah, right.
I don't. ever leave the house. So, but yeah,
we'll have a show at your house.
Your band does. I can't afford that. I have a kid coming. You have you guys explain the band a little bit.
Oh, so the band is it started off as an LCD Sound System cover band. We started because LCD Sound System was breaking up. We couldn't go to the show. Yeah. We had our first show on the same night as they had their last show.
It's the way every great band starts. Yeah.
So we play like 60 to 80% depending on the show, LCD Sound System stuff. Then we play a lot of stuff from the Police, TV on the Radio. Everything is, we just want to play fast and we want people to dance. So it has like a fast, good bass groove and drum, and we want people dancing in the audience. We don't play slow songs anymore, because when you play a slow song, everyone starts walking to the bar.
Ah, so you learned important, these are lessons learned.
These are things.
In band leading.
Yeah.
And you wear a tie.
I do. I wear a white shirt and a nice black tie. Very cool. Which I usually dress like a 13-year-old, according to my wife.
Yes, so do I.
Because I just wear a t-shirt and some like Dickies and some Converse, and that's my official uniform. But when I play the show, I wear a nice white button-up shirt, long sleeve, and a tie, and then I jump around like an idiot for 90 minutes.
Are there awesome. A lot of LCD Sound System cover bands, or do you pretty much have that market corner?
I think we got it covered. We used to say we were the number one LCD Sound System cover band, but then I watched the LCD Sound System documentary, mm-hmm. and he's like, yeah, they said that they were the number one LCD Sound System cover band, because he would make the music, and then they're like, oh shit, now we got to go on tour. So then they would just go on tour based upon.
But they're not playing anymore. So yeah. I mean, so,
we are back now.
To number one, baby.
Back to number back up. Yeah, rocket to the top again.
Excellent, sir. Always a pleasure, Mr. Baldwin.
Thank you, Robbie. Gentlemen.
Yes, thanks for coming. That was good.
Yeah, you let us talk some tech, which is good.
Woo, nerds.
Nerds.
Sweet.
Of course, it is. You can just, yeah, just we're real casual here. There's
not a
fade to black or anything like that.
Do I get played off?
I mean, there's a hook if you stay too long. Oh, good God, it's Halloween.
Hold on.
Don't look that way.
Not yet.
We need to do a station.
What is going on?
You're clear, Robbie.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Robbie. Ladies and gentlemen, Roberto Baldwin, Wired.com and North American
Speedball.
Scum. We are Octobercast. This is 24 hours. This is only a test. We are doing this to benefit Child's Play, which is Penny Arcade's charity to give comfort to sick. Oh, and I think thank you for the candy, maybe?
Just I don't know. Everybody who shows up.
Yeah, we'll make them
eat. Hey, try this.
I don't want them to think we. Well, okay, we'll work it out.
And judge them accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. Child's Play is a charity that gives comfort to sick kids. They provide toys and games and video games and stuff like that to kids who are in children's hospitals around the world. Many of them have like immune deficiency disorders, so they can't share toys and stuff like that. It's a great charity. They have virtually no overhead. The money that they raise goes to ship toys to children around the world. Joining us for the next hour.
Well, let's let people know that right now, widget might be broken. The way to donate is go to tesla.com/donate. There's a little widget at the bottom of the post. Chip in, just pay with PayPal. We don't touch the money. We're about
$7,100
right now. We have a long way to go, but we'd encourage all donations. Joey, our producer, is doing a push-up challenge, 1,000 push-ups over 24 hours.
Yes.
For charity. He is well on his way, more than half done, I believe.
Was he more than half, or is he just under half last time?
Just under half, yeah. Just under half done. Now that we are 7 hours in to the podcast, please pledge with him if you're on Twitter. Tweet with the hashtag #GunsForKids.
And literally every dollar helps. We've had a couple of huge donations. We've had a bunch of like $5, $1, $5, $10 donations. They all help.
Where are we on the pistol auction?
So I was just about to say, we are also auctioning some very special items. We have our second auction ongoing right now. We have about a little less than an hour to go on that. It is a custom-made Bill Doran made Mass Effect pistol
from Punished Props.
Punished Props, tested theme, color themed. We might be able to throw an image of that up there.
I think Joey's
the current high bid for that
is
$1,500.
And that is
$1,501. It's amazing. Maybe we can push that up a little higher as we get closer to 2 a.m. PDT.
Yeah, so it has about an hour left on the auction. Update you throughout the hour.
Yes.
Joining us right now, CBS Interactive, home of NCIS and CSI. Alexis
Farming
Gunderson.
Simulator. Is this
Are you a Zynga?
Am I continuing the Farm Simulator quick look? Yeah, sure. Why don't we go? Why don't we go with that?
Yeah, you got some headphones there. Oh, you have them on already. Okay. You have other headphones. I couldn't tell. I just blinded by this costume.
I know. Are you already running out of steam?
No, dude. We're good.
Good. I am. Good.
You got to pace yourself.
He might not be.
I might know a little something about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys did this last week, right?
We did.
Have you been out partying tonight? Is that what's going on here?
I did come from a Halloween party.
Would you like a beverage? Party. I can go get you a beverage.
I've had a couple.
Okay.
So we're good. Okay. We've got pizza on the way, too.
Oh, excellent. Good. Oh, we guys are American heroes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you did say when I said I was going to come by, you said, make sure you drink before you come over.
Absolutely. Yeah,
we encourage that in all cases.
You know, last year you introduced us, and we actually didn't get the chance to eat it on the show, but to...
The Super Duper.
Super Duper Burgers. Yeah.
Oh.
Best fast food burger.
I enjoyed those very much in San Francisco. Yeah, those
truly
were
a Super Duper Burger.
I thought that was a key move.
Somebody ate mine, but I had one the next day anyway, so I taught them an important lesson.
Try and help when we can.
Yeah. So you guys did a Halo marathon last week.
We did.
You and Drew.
Me and Drew did that.
Who's joining us? He's en route.
Yeah, he's on his way. I think he's in Sacramento. He's on his way out. So
He said that he was probably going to be late. So we're going to let it slide because, you know, he's Drew and he knows some North Korean people that can probably fuck us up pretty bad. So
I think he's got his own, you know, he's got his own stories to tell when he gets here. So we'll, you know, he'll fill the time pretty easily.
How much Halo did you guys play? Did you start with the Xbox One Halo 1 or did you go with the Anniversary Edition?
Yeah, so what we did, we played Halo 1 and 2 on the original Xbox.
Okay.
Each one of those took us about 8 hours
Halo 1 was
each.
A pretty big game, as I recall.
I mean, they're long.
How did those hold up after all these years?
I think me and Drew are pretty nostalgic about it. So for us, they hold up pretty well.
Because I remember when they showed us Anniversary Edition at PAX a few years ago, right before they brought it out.
Sure.
It was, they had it running with the new updated graphics.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at it going, yeah, that's Halo.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you know, we have this feature where we can switch back the different graphics on the fly. And when they did it, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, it doesn't look good at all anymore. Like, you forget how much graphics have evolved.
It was kind of funny when we were playing it. We were playing Xbox One, Halo 1, and we were like, you know, this doesn't look that bad. But I think it was also because you're doing like the composite output onto an HD screen and it's getting all like super fuzzied out, you know, and so it looked okay. And by the end, we were just like, oh, this looks nice, you know, wasn't that big a deal. I mean, the thing about Halo 1 is just like it's got those really long levels, you know, library.
Some of those library levels are never
I seem to remember that when they did the Anniversary Edition, there was even a question like, do we really want to go back there? But I think they wanted to stay true to, they didn't change the design of it,
they
even though it was a hated level.
What they did in the Anniversary Edition, I think, is they improved the lighting quite a bit, and they kind of changed the lighting a bit to try and help you to know where to go.
Yeah.
You know, just give you a little bit more visual cues.
And people had very divided opinions about the flood as well in the original game, right? The flood was either loved or hated.
I mean, the flood's in each one of them, and each time they come out, people, it's, you know.
Giant ammo sinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but I tell you, for its time, because strangely enough, I was actually the first person in the world to review the original Halo. I reviewed it for the official Xbox magazine.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And I went up there as a console, as a PC guy, who was very much like first-person shooter on a console with sticks. What, are you kidding me? That's not how you do it.
Auto-aim.
Because you got to remember, before Halo came along, I don't think any shooter had really ever cracked that.
Well, there were games that had done it, but it was kind of bad.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They had tried to get that first-person mechanism onto sticks in
time
the past.
Time shift, I want
to
say.
But no one had ever really made it. Halo was the first one where, for me, I was like, okay, this works. And I thought they did an amazing job and changed everything. I mean, Halo is revolutionary.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. I mean, I think all the PC people were like, we've been doing this for years, you know, and you know, there's even people within the Giant Bomb office who are like, Halo, you know, but, you know, for console people, you know, especially like PCs were expensive, you know, and as a kid, that was like your first person shooter. That's a pretty awesome like way to start.
Well, and the other thing that they did that was great was they didn't kind of dumb, like they brought something new to multiplayer. And that they had vehicles that were like you weren't instantly hobbled if you weren't in vehicles when you were on foot. And the more with Halo 2, I guess, than Halo 1, they gave this really customizable kind of game creation tool, so you could make all these crazy modes. And it was it wasn't sandboxy, but it was kind of choose your own multiplayer adventure. Sure. So if you wanted to play Capture the Flag, you could do that. If you wanted to play like a King of the Hill, you could do that. If you wanted to make some weird Capture the Flag King of the Hill variant, you could kind of even do that, especially as the game as they progressed on further.
Yeah. I do remember, for all its foibles, and you're right, there were some sections in the middle of Halo that were tough. That final level where you were trying to escape, I think, were you on a warthog or something? There was like a vehicle escape.
Yeah, you're running on the warthog.
That was really...
Through a tube, right?
That was some exciting shit back in the day.
They did that in 1, and I should know this because we just played it. I think it was in 3 as well.
Three
as well.
That was tough, with the dropping platforms.
Yeah, with the platforms. I think that was like, they're like, hey, nod to Halo 1 and Halo 3. Of course, everybody was like, oh, you did the same damn thing.
Well, it was different because in Halo 1 it was a tube, and in Halo 3 it was all flat. Yeah.
You know what? I let Drew drive the entire time.
Oh, really? So you're just gunner?
Every time we played, because like...
Oh, man.
I think Halo 1 was like his baby. Like, that's the one that he... You know, which is like, this is the game that I love, and I've played all of those. And each one of us have beat all those games on Legendary, and you know,
collected all the skulls.
Yeah, I think I probably have all the skulls. I can't really remember. I probably play Reach more than what he has, but so I just let that to him. I was like, man, you drive. I'm just gonna shoot.
from a mechanic perspective, how did those early games, like, how does the first one and first two? Like, they didn't, it was kind of, I guess they had the triangles. They always had the heads up, the HUD triangles that kind of told you which direction you were supposed to go in, right? But I feel like the first one,
we got lost a lot in Halo 1 and 2. We got lost a ton. Like, there were definitely spots where we were asking the chat,
like which way to go?
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, and I think maybe it was also maybe more difficult because I'm playing and I'm trying to read the chat as well. You know, I had kind of made like a little custom version for myself where like the chat was really huge on a MacBook, and I'm trying to read and I'm trying to play, and then all of a sudden I'd be like, oh crap, Drew, where the hell are you? You know, and chat would have to be like, go that way, or you know, that kind of stuff. And so I think they definitely did a better job of that as the Halos started going. You know, definitely by 3 they had figured out some of that stuff.
I played 3 4 player co-op the whole way through. It was a fantastic game. It was really good experience.
I mean, the change from 2 to 3 was pretty big for us when we were probably 16 hours into the marathon at that point. So changing to Halo 3 was like kind of like a sigh of relief. Like, oh yeah, this is a pretty good looking game. You know?
So was the objective just to play through everything, the single player campaign back to back on everything?
Yeah. So we were able to do the first two, just me and him. Mm-hmm. And then for the third one, Matt Pasquale, who was the guy who actually organized all of these 24-hour marathons? Because I guess he's been doing it. He did it for 2 years in a row already.
I think 3 years. I think maybe this was his third. Because I played Borderlands with him in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I did notice that. I mean, he's been doing a great job. And I think that's the reason why me and Drew wanted to do it. We noticed he had done it last year. He was doing it this year. And he was like, oh, you know, his whole big thing was like, oh, we raised like, you know, $1,500 last year. And that's pretty good for just, you know, like, community members who don't have any like public,
that's awesome. I mean, just to be wrong, $1,500 is a shitload of money. I mean, that is amazing.
It is, and the amount of effort he put in to get like, he had some like gifts and things to give away, and then he like made sure. I mean, somehow he got you guys to get on there.
Asked us.
Sure, but he put the effort in, and I think as we saw him putting that much effort, I think at one point I had always joked around with Drew. I was like, we should play Halo, like, you know, for a bunch of time anyways. So we were just
felt now
like,
having did you get all the way through to what the end of Reach, I guess? Is
no, we did 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
I think first,
so you didn't do ODST or
I mean, it's even if you go and look at what the average speed run is for those games, they it's about 8 hours.
Right. So the idea of doing every game in 24 hours is not reasonable.
That'd be really difficult, especially because 1 and 2 have some really long parts, I feel like. You know, we joked around with saying that Halo 2 was our dark chapter, you know? Like, Halo 2 almost took the wind out of us, you know? Cause, you know, we had just gone through Halo 1. We had at this one point in Halo 1 where a weird spawn point had kind of screwed us at the end of, like, level 3. Where Drew was in a Banshee and he's flying up in the sky, and I had died somewhere down below, and I warped behind him on a platform which is probably 1,000 feet in the air. And then I'm like, I'm up there, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. I've never been up here. And then he dies and he warps behind me, and we're like, oh shit, like what do we do? You know, like because you can't. There's no way to survive.
You ODST that, right?
We ended up restarting the game. Like we thought we were gonna have to restart the level. We had luckily it was a GameSpot Xbox. Somebody on there had a profile, and we just skipped to the next level.
Oh wow!
You know, for a while we sat there for like 10-15 minutes, just like we were like, oh, maybe if we synchronize dive together and like you know and like try to shoot each other while we're jumping off. And like we did this for like 10-15 minutes, just like jumping and dying and dying and dying. And we were like, oh crap, we don't want to do this level again. Like you know, and each level is about an hour. In Halo 1,
it's a lot of game.
So people were definitely joking with us like that could have been a bad turning point for you guys. You had to start like 4 hours into your marathon, like start a level all over again. But luckily, you know, we were like, and everybody in the chat was like, you guys are like 95% of the way through, just skip to the next level. And we were able to just do that. So, but definitely spots in that entire marathon where you're just running out of gas, you know?
Like, so what hour you did from like 9 a.m. to 9 a.m.?
Yeah, we did.
That's a sane way to do this.
I was thinking about, well, yeah.
Yeah, that's the smart thing to do.
Of course, I went home. I slept for an hour, and then I went to a brunch and didn't go to bed until like 11 o'clock.
Well, you also have to do that because otherwise your sleep schedule will be screwed up for weeks, right? So,
and there's a certain point you're like, wow, I've been up for, out of the last 36 hours, I've been up for an hour, which is probably what you guys are going to be doing, right? So...
Something like
pretty
that.
Much.
Nope.
Yeah. No naps until Sunday, right?
No naps.
I'm just going to push through, I think, at this point. I mean, just roll into work on Monday morning. 72 hours.
I'm sure you'll be a lot of fun.
It'll be perfect.
I'm sure you'll be a ton of fun.
What?
Sure.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, you guys have here coming here and like helping you out and you know,
oh yeah, we have
a lot of
so
guests.
We have
a
ton of great guests. We have Joey and Ian. A bunch of people are in the other room actually helping with that stuff and helping like I haven't been in that room for like 3 hours at this point. So I heard that food has arrived though. So if you guys want to start cycling out and getting food like one at a time,
and pizza
this is
we can
the time.
Actually eat without being too noisy.
Probably
as well.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
Encouraging.
Or you could you know go gobble pizza and then. You know, up to you.
I'll
step whatever.
Out in a second. I want to know what kind of pizza we have. I'm excited about it.
What
I can investigate.
What right. you can scout it out for us, Jen.
I'm also going to change pants.
That's a good idea.
Well, pants. You guys are way smarter than we were. We sat in the same damn clothes for the whole time.
Well, I'm going to be in the same clothes. I just started super skeezy sweatpants. Will is the one who started in the full.
You look good,
you know, man. Regalia. You
look, I'm gonna untie my tie now.
Frank Sinatra.
It's welcome to Test It After Dark.
But are you gonna be sticking with this the whole time? Basically,
no. I got some changes. I got some wardrobe changes.
I think I might slip into my slippers at some point soon.
Oh, I brought slippers. That would have been a good move. The thing we found last year was that we had a pajama party at midnight. You were here for that last year.
Yes, I came in right around the middle of your guys' marathon.
I had my Don Draper pajamas on, and because we started at noon last year, I think, and went until noon. That was a long time. But changing clothes in the wee hours, like 6 o'clock, getting up, brushing your teeth, putting on a fresh pair of pants, new shirt, made a huge difference in quality of life.
I'm sure.
So what else is cooking with you, man? You guys are working on a new site and stuff like that?
Yeah, we're still working on the Giant Bomb redesign. I think design has probably changed like two or three times during the time because I think the engineering part of it has taken a little longer than we had hoped. But it's a complex site, you know.
Believe me, we found out we changed the whole site in 2 weeks, and that was a real bad idea. I mean, we've got it hooked together with Bailing Tine and Spit, but we have a new we got something new coming soon too.
Oh, that's
so
good.
I don't know when that exactly is going to hit, but
I mean, it's a good thing you guys didn't have a wiki because like that's
yeah
that's,
thanks
that's
thanks for bringing
the,
that up
that's,
again.
You know,
same old.
I figured I should because
it's been so long. Since
you know what? Because right now that's kicking our ass right now. Like that's just I mean, there's so many objects that are tied into one another.
It's millions of pages of kind of not inconsistent, but a little bit inconsistent content, right?
I mean, it's just the data associations is just tough, and there's like the merging, the migration of the data right now is just taking a long time. You got to be really detailed with it, you know. And you know, if you don't have a wiki with millions or whatever how many pages we have, you can just imagine it's probably a little easier, you know. So
yeah,
so that stuff's taking a little longer we'd hope. I mean, I think we kind of are still hoping for by the end of the year, but you know, there's other sites out there that are doing their thing. You know, Polygon just launched, and that was kind of nice to see them like doing their own thing. And
Yeah, I've looked at that on an iPad, but I haven't looked at it on a on a real computer yet.
Yeah.
And it, like the iPad design is fantastic. It feels more like an app. It's very clearly. Yeah. I mean, the benefit of redoing this now though is you can kind of design the whole thing for the new
You can. I mean, right? I think you'll get a better appreciation as to like what they had to go through to do the whole responsive thing.
And we're responsive,
and you're responsive as well. But obviously, their design is. Got a little bit more bells and whistles to it,
obviously,
right?
Yeah.
I would, there are some really awesome things about that site. You know, I think my general opinion of it, there are some things that are a little overwhelming, and I think they're getting that kind of feedback. I wouldn't be surprised if they change a little bit.
Just tone some stuff down a little bit,
It's just, you don't notice it on the iPad because you're constrained to a certain width, right? You know, you've got that, 768 or that 1024 width, right? And so, images that scale across the entire, screen look perfectly fine on your iPad as you're scrolling through, right? You get on a, 1440, wide, MacBook. Or
put your 27-inch iMac up there.
And, what actually happens is they have set a bunch of spots where the images actually go 100% of the width of the body container.
Oh.
And so you get these, weird, jumps, so they've been getting, I think, a little bit of backlash for some of that stuff. But I think overall, I can only, commend them for, trying some new stuff. And, they're definitely... a different site than Giant Bomb. You know? I mean, I think we're still going to focus on our video experience a lot more than the featured articles. It's just the way it is, right? So,
and I mean, the thing when you launch a new design, there's inevitably feedback, and if the feedback is, hey, I don't like this one feature, that's a good thing. If the feedback is, hey, man, what the fuck did you guys do? That's not so good.
I think they've been definitely getting. Pretty positive feedback.
But is it true that you hate Patrick and his written word features? That's what I just heard just a minute ago.
Oh, really? Let's start that rumor up.
Yeah, that you're anti-Klepek is what I heard.
There's enough Patrick hating other people and Patrick and Brad. That's a funny little feature that went for a little while.
Patrick and Brad, is there beef?
They had started this thing at some point. I think somebody in the forums was like, man, Patrick and Brad don't get along at all. And those things just snowball, right? And they're fine, but they saw that and they're after a while, they're like, maybe we should be total dicks to each other on videos,
Howard Stern wasn't any good until he had Pigface to stand against him. So, right. maybe Patrick should be Brad's Pigface or Brad should be Patrick's Pigface.
Yeah.
The funny thing about not being in the office with you guys anymore.
Oh my God. It's fucking terrible.
There's a lot of. I mean, it is. I mean, Joey and Norm are awesome, our engineers work from home a lot. Just to be clear, it is frequently Norm, Joey, and me in this big ass office, and we're just kind of sitting back here in the dark, going, "Where is everybody?" I kind of didn't appreciate how much content that those guys put out. Nonstop, because I would just kind of catch the tail end or the end of the conversation that came out of the quick. He'd be like, "Oh yeah, okay, how was the quick?" Like, "Oh, it was pretty good. Skip this one, but watch the one about it." And without that constant flow of information, I have to really watch a shitload of content to figure out and then you do stupid shit like the farming simulator bit and
that was awesome.
Yeah, it was totally rad.
The farming simulator was really good. The Miami one.
I downloaded that game last night, but it got stuck.
That soundtrack is amazing.
Really,
it's so good. Me and Ryan are just. I think me and Ryan are both really. Big fans of the Drive soundtrack.
Okay.
Watch that first part of that quick look. I mean, they're looking at the title screen and it's just like, I think Ryan's first statement was like, I am tripping balls right now. It's pretty cool. That whole soundtrack has just got a good vibe to it. I had it on loop today at work, and that's not even like my kind of music in general, but
Describe the game a little bit, because like I said, I fired it up and it got hung on a Steamworks thing and I couldn't get it to do
anything.
It's
an over the top, gunning kind of game. It's literally you're walking into a room. There's people within,
like Smash TV or something like that.
Yeah, I guess so, or maybe like the first Grand Thefts.
Okay,
that's probably closer.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's just literally just walking into a room and just shooting people and it's just got a great, It's got a lot of little nuances. It's a really brutal, really fast paced game. Like you die. It's kind of like somebody had a great explanation. It was like Super Meat Boy meets like cocaine and like Grand Theft Auto. Okay. You know, like just like over the top. You know,
it's a little bit like Retro City Rampage. You know, because the old school kind of top down.
Sure. Yeah.
I think like you said, like the original GTA game.
Right. Yeah. I think it's got a great look. I only played it a little bit myself because, you know, I'm on a Mac.
I've heard a lot of people talk about the soundtrack. What kind of music is that?
So what I was like, I want to say it's like, I guess it's like postmodern, like it's the Drive soundtrack.
Okay.
You know, it's got that like kind of just like chill kind of vibe to it.
It's new wave.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I want to check it out.
Yeah, it's great. It's a $10 game. You can rip the OGG files from the game if you want to. People are waiting for the soundtrack to get released. They've been releasing it in like little bits on like Bandcamp and stuff like that. So we'll see. I don't know. It's a very entertaining quick look. So today, this week was a fun week for Giant Bomb for quick looks. Like between that and the Farming Simulator, it's just like.
Now tell me about Farming Simulator. Because I haven't heard about that. But that
well, when awesome. Someone says, hey, Gary, this game you can buy on Steam, it's called Farming Simulator. What do you imagine from your experience with PC games?
Well, I'm one of those people that is strangely fascinated by games that simulate really boring things. So like train simulators and like, do you remember there was that?
Fuck you, trains are not boring.
Bus simulators and tractor.
There was that weird German one where you just played like a street cleaning truck. That just went around.
Well, or the one that...
And it was so utterly boring, and yet there was something kind of fascinating about how boring they made it.
You might like the train simulators and the farm simulators. And I mean, it was basically Vinny and Ryan driving around in tractors, you know, picking up corn. And
so is it a sim in the sense that, I mean, obviously you can drive the tractors around it, but is it really a farming simulator, like you plant stuff and buy?
From what it looked like, yeah. I mean, they were planting, growing some corn, grinding it up, putting it in a jump, you know. But of course, it's like Ryan and Vinny, so like
is
they're...
Is it persistent?
What's that?
Do you have to like plant stuff in April, and then you come back 6 months later and harvest it?
You know, that's...
These are the realism.
These are questions that I, you know, probably Giant Bomb Quick Look wouldn't answer for you all so accurately when they're running their tractors into like into the lake and, you know, running over. You know, come on, we're talking about Vinny and Ryan. Like
those games also have great expansion packs and DLC.
Gary, he can't wait to go home.
What was the game? I think it was years ago. Where it was, I think it was called Desert Bus.
Desert Bus. It wasn't actually a game.
You drove the bus through the desert, and it was just keep the bus going in a straight line for like a really long time.
It was part of a NES Penn and Teller game, but the trip never ended. There's a Child's Play event called Desert Bus for Hope where they play Desert Bus.
Okay.
For as long as they can, and it's like a marathon pledge type thing.
They've done really well.
Those guys raise a ton of money.
It's probably the most boring game you could possibly imagine.
It is awful.
But again, in that boredom lies its own kind of fascination. I want to remember the name, but it was either British or it's definitely European, because only the Europeans could do this.
I've long wanted
one of those those trucks that go around and have the brushes that just clean the edge of the
street sweeper thing, yeah.
Yeah, the street sweeping, street cleaning trucks.
Honestly.
It was that, and you just had to drive along at like 4 miles an hour. And hit all the corners, and that was your route that you went on.
I used to love the Microsoft Train Simulator games. The Railworks games are a little too hardcore for me. Like, the Train Simulator, I needed a more arcadey train sim, it turns out. But I also played a lot of Cities in Motion, like which is a mass transit simulator for Vienna. There were like four cities in the game. And you have to design a mass transit system that consists of rails and buses and subways and stuff.
somebody in the chat pointed out an interesting little piece of trivia about Desert Bus, which I think, again, just goes to the meta nature of it all. When you complete the trip in Desert Bus, you are awarded 1 point. There's just something perfect about that. I love that. There needs to be more really boring games, but like intentionally boring.
There's a few of them out there, man. And I think it's really funny to see like communities take things like the train simulator. We spent like a half hour. It was just me, Jeff, and Vinny sitting around the computer watching like train simulator dubstep YouTube videos, which were just like we were looking at them and like, you know, Vinny's pretty pretty crazy and does some really awesome video stuff. And like, even Vinny was like, whoa, like, it's just like, it's just great.
These stuff. People took it to a new level.
Cause it's just so boring.
But some people take it real seriously. And there's a lot of, I mean, it all goes back to flight sims. And when you play a flight sim, you know, doing a flight sim from LA to San Francisco, it's an hour, right?
Right.
The world of flight is an hour. Right. So you can do the entire flight. If you have a flight stick, then you can just, you know, play pilot and imagine what a pilot would do during that hour.
Sure.
In the air, you know?
Probably eat some pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that kind of thing.
I like pizza.
you know, and then you join Flight Club Giant Bomb and you end up just ejecting at any time possible. So.
Well, it depends on which kind of plane you're flying, right? You know, you can't eject out of airliners.
I know, but I think Vinny's always just eject.
We learned about the flight sim community because we visited James Price, the guy who built the 737 flight simulator in his garage.
Okay, yeah,
so
I saw
it's
that
a full
one.
Size
yeah.
flight simulator, but you know, he obviously loves flying the plane.
Sure.
But there are people in that community who love doing the air traffic control. And that's what he does as a real job, so he doesn't want to do that as a hobby. So but there are people who love just coordinating the flights, the virtual flights.
It's like hooking up voyeurs and exhibitionists. It's the two sides. So you get the flight sim people hooked up with the air traffic control people, and everybody's really happy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Solving problems around the world.
Now, we also got confirmation for, that Drew is going to be late for sure.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
He's not going to be around here until 3 o'clock.
Okay. He can, you know.
That is late.
We can hold the fort till then.
Yeah.
We're not going anywhere.
I'm feeling re-energized by this pizza.
I know. I got pizza. And you know what?
Isn't that the best part? Mm-hmm. Just those little eating. Segments. Oh, man.
Yes. Food really helps. Energy. I'm into coffee now. Hot coffee.
I'm going to go get some coffee right after this. I'm not quite ready for coffee? Black Blood of the Earth yet.
No, exactly. I think maybe
you definitely want to keep that in the
Drank it all.
In the hole until you're really desperate.
You're going to die. Alexis, don't.
You drank the vial?
I saw that stuff, and I was like, oh, man, I really want that right now. You know.
I got some Black Death.
What's Black Death?
That's the double-strength Black Blood of the Earth.
Yeah. Jesus.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
I think me and Drew were definitely dying at a certain point because like we didn't really actually have many people come and visit us. We had Patrick come in like maybe for like a couple hours at one point. And my sister actually came in, you know, who she knows nothing about games. Mm-hmm. She was probably one of the more entertaining parts of the entire chat. She actually got a pretty good response, and I was really happy with the chat room. You know, they treated her really well, but she was really entertaining. And she was like, oh, maybe I should do this more often. I was like, sure. And then my 2-year-old nephew showed up at like 7 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he drive himself?
Well, my brother brought him, but okay. That would have been more awesome.
I mean, kind of.
I think that was definitely the last like pull on the heartstrings trick. Like, hey, donate to the kids. Look, I have a kid in my lap. You know, he's trying to play Halo too.
So how much did you raise?
We raised a little bit. I think we did $17,000.
That's awesome. So, that's awesome.
That's great.
Which is like 16 more than I thought we would have done after I had probably, you know, I was like, oh, maybe I'll just pledge everything. We really did not think.
And was that for Child's Play or Extra Life? Or
that was for Extra Life. So, because the whole
Children's Miracle Network, right?
Is yeah.
The charity?
I have to say, the whole reason why we did it was because we wanted to bring more attention to the Giant Bomb community guys, right? And because they have their Giant Bomb team on Extra Life. And so you can see all the community members. They're part of that team. They're trying to make money. And so last year they made $1,500 as a whole. So this year with us, they actually got just shy of $26,000.
That's awesome.
So I think a lot of it had to do with Matt putting so much effort into it as well. You know, but, you know, and the 17 grand we threw in there as well. Like, we were blown away. I didn't know what else to say. Like, you
no,
know,
that's a really,
every time people were putting money, I just, like, my jaw was, I didn't even know what to say.
I look at people come in and are donating amazing money. I mean, and like I said, everything mm-hmm. helps.
Oh, yeah. No, and you can see it. I mean, you can see, like, the $5 donations, the $10 donations, mm-hmm. and then you get things like $100. We had like one guy was like $1,000, and then another guy $1,500. And it's like, what do you say when you see that? You're just thank you.
Yeah,
I know. It's like, it's just like how much more can you think? You know, I mean, and you know, maybe people are going to donate anyways, but it's just you know, to be a part of it was pretty awesome experience. As you guys obviously know, you've done this already a few times. You know?
Once. This is just time number two.
This is number two.
So speaking of which, if you want to donate.
Yeah. It's tester.com/donate. That's how you go. You go there. There's a widget at the bottom.
There's a little widget. You can donate any amount.
And the money goes straight to the PayPal for Child's Play. It doesn't go through us. Chip-in doesn't take a cut. Nobody takes any cuts.
It's 100% of your donation actually goes to, you know, the charitable cause.
Yes, and it's
no skimming off the top.
The widget seems to be a little slow updating right now, but we're at $7,288.
Oh, really?
Almost $7,300.
Because mine is still stuck at like $6,800.
Yeah.
Do you have like a more up-to-date number?
If you go to, if you actually go to octobercast.chipin.com, you can get the super live one.
Oh, yeah, $7,288.
And have we got any more bids on the pistol?
No, we're still at $1,500.
So $1,500 is the high bid on the exclusive one-of-a-kind Mass Effect pistol prop.
That's amazing. That is astounding.
25 minutes left if anyone wants to try and beat. I don't think I was going to beat 1500. Come on. That's crazy.
1500. I think Bill said that the pistol that he gave away, donated at Child's Play last year, sold for, I think, $500 at the charity auction. So this is.
Wow.
So really that's pretty impressive.
And this one's a little bit customized. It has tested colors. And oh, it's on the screen right now. You can see what it looks like right there. It's the Paladin, the Carnifex Paladin, which if you play
like Mass I said, Effect, I met Bill at New York Comic Con just a couple of weeks ago and saw one of these pistols that he had made, mm-hmm. you know, for his own costume and his armor. His stuff is really good. Like, it actually looks better in person than it does in the photograph.
I think he said this one is a resin cast, so it's going to have a nice heft. It's
yeah, and he weights them. Yeah, that's the thing is that you expect these things to kind of feel cheap and plasticky, but like he weights them in such a way that they actually kind of feel like the real thing would. They have like a real heft and a weight to them.
Like the real video game gun?
Feels like a quality item.
Exactly. Just to be clear, it is not a functional weapon. You cannot shoot people with it, nor does it. I think even the trigger is a dummy. Right? And he's generally, although Bill might have made it mobile. I don't know.
The pew-pews you want.
Yes. You have to provide your own sound effects, though. So, yeah, we're going to close that auction about 23 minutes by my clock.
Yeah, and then that total will go in there. Once you add that in there, we'll be closing it on 10 grand.
10 grand.
That'll be awesome.
Less than halfway into the show, so that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
What else is cooking Alexis, what are you doing for fun these days?
Besides the giant bomb redesign,
that's fun. Yeah. I know how that kind of thing can be fun.
You know, I just went to New York a couple weeks ago. Oh, that was a fun time.
The city or the country? New York City or New York, the city?
New York country?
Yeah, you know, the upstate part, away from the city.
New York State.
Oh, yeah.
New York State, upstate. Okay.
I spent most of my time in Manhattan and also in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Some highlights from Brooklyn. I really like this place called Barcade. Which is like basically a bar with an arcade in it.
That sounds awesome.
It's just like arcade games, basically, I want to say from like early 80s. You know, it's a lot of Joust to like maybe Paperboy was probably the newest thing.
So like
they
Galaga
had.
And Pac-Man, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. That definitely. But it was really nicely done because it was like arcade game, little wooden slab right in between the next arcade game to put your beer.
Oh, that's good.
You know, and just like, and they had a nice little. Had two functioning change machines, you know, no stupid tokens or nothing. And it was
nice.
Just like, and they had a nice little like board up top with like chalkboard with like all the high scores, which are just like ridiculous high scores, right? Nothing that, you know, I'd be able to accomplish, but.
What, like 10,000 on Ms. Pac-Man?
I don't know. It's like kill everybody with Rampage, you know, in Rampage, you know.
That's a lot of killing.
Yeah. You know, destroy the entire world.
Was it a beer bar or did they have a liquor too?
You know, that's a good question. I think I definitely drank beer, so okay. They might have had liquor, but that was pretty cool.
What was the best facial hair you saw in Brooklyn? Did you see any novelty mustaches or some sort of weird carved Tony Stark thing?
I have to say that I think most people there have even been saying, like, yeah, it was pretty hipster for a little while, but it's kind of like they're even getting a little tired of it. Mm. So we didn't really...
A lot of khakis and golf shirts then.
It's just like t-shirts and jeans, you know? Okay. I think even the people that I knew that lived there were just like, it's not as bad as it was, you know? It just, all that stuff goes through phases, right? It happens here. Happens here a lot in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you see the phases of what people are going through and, you know, you want to say, oh, the Mission's only hipsters, and it is for a little while, but then they get tired of it, you know?
One day it's Madras, the next day it's Disco Pants.
Yeah. And then, but you know what? The constant is always hoodies, you know? So.
Well, it's cold here. Well, I don't know if you're aware, but we have shit weather.
You know, coming from somebody who lived in Connecticut where negative 20 was.
Okay, that's really shit weather. Ours is just kind of California shit.
Yeah, no, totally. So.
Can we get a Guns for Kids update?
How are we doing, Joey?
Joey just completed a set.
See, he really is.
I say, how are we doing?
He really is the quiet unsung hero of this podcast.
He's doing all the technical stuff. Just to be clear, this thing here in front of me, all it does is adjust headphone volume, and I've fucked that up pretty consistently since the start of the show. So, you know, in fairness, we did only get it day before yesterday, I think. So it's a new addition to the ensemble.
Right on.
Joey, how are you doing on push-ups? I think Joey might be
493. Oh, that's so very close to halfway.
He could just jump on down right now. Let's get the 7.
Nice job.
I am feeling it.
He's starting to feel it. He said.
So the second 500 clearly is going to be more difficult than the first.
I think. No. Do we need to ice the guns? There's some ice in the.
Yeah, you need some Bengay. Freezer.
He's going to be icy hot. If he's do you actually halfway have through, he's going to need something to spark him right around 75%.
You think that's the maybe if we all go in and we stand around him and we cheer as he's push-upping.
You have to start juicing him.
I don't think we're against juice here at tested.com. Norm, you opened up one of your bags a minute ago of cards. Did you get anything good out of that, or was it all crap cards?
I got two Havocs, which were no good.
Who's Havoc?
Havoc is
an X-Men?
Havoc, husband of Polaris.
Oh.
I see a She-Hulk.
Yeah, there was a She-Hulk. The art was okay. I like this Human Torch art. It's very...
that's pretty good
very
art.
Conceptual, you know, very Atlas Shrugged almost. Yeah. But I did get a She-Hulk. It's all right.
It's a kind of tarted up She-Hulk. Yeah. I don't know.
Will, what are you playing these days?
I'm playing a lot of XCOM.
Really?
You're
playing on Steam.
I'm playing on PC. Yeah.
I've noticed that pretty much all my Xbox friends are now gone.
Well,
because everybody's kind of moving to PC, Steam.
I mean, we've reached a point in that console cycle where the PC is really super capable compared to the consoles.
Right.
The games are the same price. The Steam Big Picture thing came out a few weeks ago and has literally changed the way I play video games.
Really?
I mean, I ran an HDMI cable across to the living room from the office, and I just go in there and change the audio output on the PC and. When I want to play a game, Steam's always running. I hit the Xbox button on the controller. It's sitting in the living room right next to me. I change the input on the TV, and I'm good to go. I have essentially
as long as you're playing a game with an Xbox controller.
I just don't play anything that doesn't work with the Xbox controller. I didn't want to tell the Idle Thumbs guys, but since 30 Flights of Loving doesn't support the controller, it's been sitting there on my hard drive for months, and I just haven't played it. Huh.
So, like when SimCity comes around, you're gonna have to bite the bullet and go sit at your desk, right?
By the time SimCity comes around, I'll have a kid, so I probably won't be able to play video games.
Oh yeah, so it's gonna be moot anyway.
Yeah. Mm. Although SimCity might be a good game with the kid. You could make two moves, then walk away for 20 or 30 minutes, then come back. And your whole city will be flattened by Godzilla.
Vinny pointed out, you will be more grateful for and more inclined towards playing games that can be played in very short sessions, little bursts. 5 minutes
make,
where you've
make
got
a list
some time.
Of everything you love.
Yeah.
Then burn it.
Well, wow.
Sorry, Gina. Sorry, Chloe.
Yeah.
Make a list of everything you love and then burn it.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
So by the time I get a PC, you won't even be on Steam anymore.
Probably not. We'll be on the next thing.
I'm very excited about SimCity. That's one of the games I'm most looking forward to playing.
XCOM's great. Have you played XCOM?
I have not yet. I just finished... I was just finishing up Borderlands. And, you know, so I think it was like Sleeping Dogs before that. And
Sleepy Dogs.
That was actually a pretty fun game. Yeah.
I got that the other day because it was on sale for half off. I haven't played it yet.
You know, I think it's got a good little run. You know, I think it surprised a lot of people. You know, even in the office.
Yeah, I heard some good things about it.
Were you a Borderlands 1 guy?
Yeah. No, I went through the whole thing. I didn't play any of the DLCs, but, you know. And Borderlands 2 is basically Borderlands, you know. I mean, it's still the same thing, you know, but it's...
More guns.
And I have a good time with those kind of games, so...
I liked it, didn't click with me, Borderlands.
You had a real bad first experience, because when we were playing, the people we were playing with were in such a balls-out rush to get...
Yeah, I was playing with people that were kind of more... they knew the game more and they were constantly rushing forward and doing everything really fast. And I was like, guys, hold on a minute. I need to figure out what's going on here.
Start from the beginning and take your time.
Yeah, yeah. I needed to be moving through the game.
I'm definitely the kind of guy that does all the side missions and everything. Yeah. I'm a terrible completionist. Like, I have to do everything.
Here's the pro tip for Borderlands, because if you have the time, you want to play Borderlands twice. The new game plus gives you all the good stuff.
And the enemies are harder, and the
enemies
guns are
harder. Yeah, and also, so you're starting to get a full half of the game, because the game doesn't really kick in until, you know, a quarter of the way through when you start unlocking the good stuff.
You don't know what you're doing until you're 10 hours in, really.
The good powers.
Yeah.
And second way through, you know, you're starting a higher level, you already have a base set of powers, and you know where you want to upgrade your stuff. Play the first way through, but don't do any of the side quests. Just do story.
Well, that's an interesting thought.
And then when you do the second time through, you get all the side quests that have not been done yet. So when you beat the game, you can go, and all the enemies are then.
So you're saying rush through the first playthrough?
Well, not rush through, but just do the story. Don't do the side quests, and just do the side quests when you play the second time, and that's when you unlock all the great stuff.
Damn it, Norm, where were you like 20 hours ago in gaming? I've just been going all side, all story.
Well, you know, if you're just gonna play it once, then that's the way to do it.
Yeah, that's probably how I'll do it. You know, I mean, but I'm pretty much waiting for like a new iMac right now. That's, you know.
Well, hey, guess what happened this week?
Yeah, I know. It's okay.
Well, I mean, thing is, you're never going to get an iMac with a good GPU that's really
that's,
suitable
that,
for
that
gaming.
That 6600 looks, I mean, it's probably as best as you can get.
It's,
you know,
it's in an iMac. In an all-in-one, you're not going to, I mean, unless you get into something specialty and kind of weird.
Sure.
That's probably it.
But, you know, here's my problem. It's like, I'm a Mac guy. I do all my design. I do all my web development. It's just, web development is just way easier on Macs, you know, just because of like, it's all NIX-based, you know. And
you
know,
you can run Apache and all that stuff really easily.
You can run all that stuff. You know, and the guys at work, they're trying to do it on Windows. It's just a pain. Freaking, you know, they're
You running a Windows machine at work now?
No, there are people there who tried to go on Windows. And at a certain point, you're just like, dude, just stop. You know, just give that up. You know, like use it.
You
for,
just set Dave straight.
Dave is a total Mac, you know, developer as well. So, I mean, we were pretty, you know, pretty adamant about the things we wanted to do. You know, we're like, stay on GitHub, run on Mac. You know, we want to do all that stuff locally. Want to be running that stuff on like a, you know, like some AWS server outside of our office. You know, I mean, eventually you have to, but you know, you want to be developing locally. You know,
right?
It's just quicker and you get more stuff done, and that stuff's just way more problematic on the Windows. I mean, it's totally possible. I'm sure smarter people than me in the chat will probably be like, hey, you can totally do it, but just from everything we've done over the years, it's just that much easier. I do want a dual boot into my Windows. That'll probably appease me enough, you know. I figure that the latest iMac should at least be able to play most games.
Well, I mean, the other thing you could do is get a... I mean, because you don't need a massive machine for web development at this point. Even if you're doing big Photoshop files, I mean, everything has enough memory and CPU to do web resolution graphic stuff. I mean, you could always get a less expensive iMac and, you know, just get a dedicated PC gaming box.
I live in an apartment in San Francisco. I'm trying to get rid of stuff.
Oh, so you're looking at your last chance to be a minimalist.
Yeah, I just don't want any more boxes. I have too many machines as I have already. I'm just trying to get rid of everything. I just want one machine.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to dual boot it, I know it's not going to be the top of the line gaming machine, but I'll boot it into Windows 7. I'll play my Steam games there. It'll probably be better than a lot of people's PCs, right? So, you know.
And you know, it'll be thin.
Yeah. You know, I wish they hadn't gone thin, except for the fact that the way they're pressing that glass, you know, together. I think.
Is it glued? Has somebody said yet? It seems like it has to be.
Yeah. I mean, they say the reflection on it is way better, you know, or like there's a lack of reflection because that glare on the current iMac is pretty tough if you got a lot of like lights going on and stuff like that. So if they've improved that, then it's totally worth it. If not, I don't really see the point of it. You know, like it's on your desktop. Who cares? You guys already said this, you know, like who cares?
Right.
Well, I would have rather have had a thicker iMac with a better video card, you know, or better heat dissipation.
And better display. I mean, it's only a matter of time before they put a Retina level display in that thing.
That's
4K display on 27-inch.
Oh, God, it's too big. I mean, like, what video card's going to run that?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, they're forced to put a real video card in it.
Yeah. It's
but even think of
for buffer.
What's the tough, like, the biggest video card you had if you had to run that kind of display?
4K, I mean, people run off one video card multiple 2560 by 1600 monitors.
Yeah, I do.
It'd just be like, you know, put 2.5 of those.
How expensive is that?
Oh, for the panel? Oh, yeah, very expensive.
No, for the panel and for that video card to drive a panel like that. Like, it just doesn't, that doesn't make much
sense.
It'll
start expensive and get cheaper over time. Same way everything else does.
Yeah. The thought of a $3,000 iMac is, you know.
Well, but that's what the 27-inch one started at. Just, I mean, remember when they launched those 2560 pixel by 1600 pixel or 1080 pixel, whatever it is. Those started at like $2,800 or something insane. Sure. So give it time.
Good point. Yeah, it's just, I didn't see it. I personally didn't think it was going to happen. You know, it was like, just be too expensive. They're not, you know, just too much to drive, you know.
Hey, Alexis,
I'm more excited about that Fusion.
Well, hold on, we have about 10 minutes left. Let's remind people about the Paladin.
We have a Mad Lib for you, but we're one more reminder. It's about 10 minutes left on our current auction, which is for a one-of-a-kind unique Mass Effect Paladin pistol from our friend Bill Doran up at Punish Props.
There may or may not be a picture on the screen. Bid right now, that's it. The top bid right now is $1,500. It's provisional. We don't have the money yet. So the next bid down was $1,100. If you would like this, now is the time. Wait, no, it's not the 1,000 push-ups. Really. It's the other one.
The way to bid is to send an email to tips@tested.com with the subject line Mass Effect Pistol, and the amount you'd like to bid must be over $1,500 at this point. And we have about 10 minutes left. We will be taking bids up until the email, email timestamp says 2:01 PDT.
I feel that there could be people waiting to snipe in that last, because that's the auction etiquette, right? You wait for the last couple of minutes and then you duck in there with your $1,501 bid.
So we have 10 minutes, 9 minutes now. Alexis, are you prepared to go do a Mad Lib?
A filthy, filthy.
We do ask our guests to do Mad Libs.
Mad Libs are so far, I'm not going to say.
Even the ones that should have been super filthy.
I thought the very first one that we did was pretty strong. It was the one where no one was an expert in cocks and Vinny, you were a fluffer.
Vinny had a good one.
That was Vinny. Vinny delivered.
Yeah.
I feel like the giant bomb guys really were Vinny still the ones that are going to get this done for us.
Vinny still wasn't the top of the mountain. I think asking chat was probably a mistake for help.
I mean, that was just base. Working blue is one thing, but
you gotta draw the line somewhere.
That was just offensive.
Now, if you are too late on the gun for a noun, Will does have some Cards Against Humanity cards.
This is expansion two.
Help you out.
It's brand new.
New expansion two.
It's for the kids.
Let's do this. You guys know
I'm a designer and I'm drunk.
I'm fine with
even better.
So we have words and options for Mad Libs. Are we doing?
The one about how the bed bugs started eating up Norm's asshole, and we tried to stop them by spraying them with meconium. That was a winner as well.
The meconium one was the Vinny one.
That was a good one. I think that was Vinny.
I can find an occasional ing verb here, like pumping.
So
upgrading.
Is it horror?
This is the horror one.
Okay.
Some of these are really funny.
Theme is horror, Alexis.
Okay.
Okay.
So, and I just in case, if there's, because sometimes, you know, people go, if anyone else at the table has like a great suggestion, feel free to jump in. We'll crowdsource it from the table.
The important thing is to keep it moving.
Okay. Got to keep it moving.
And angry. Just because they say someone in the room doesn't really mean you got to do someone in the room.
the room could be the internet at large.
Right on.
Someone you know. Someone we all know.
Okay.
I'll keep it funny.
Like Jeff Goldblum. He's a card.
Some of these are weird. Okay.
You don't say.
All right. Let's start with an adjective.
Chubby.
Yeah.
I'm feeling Alexa's going to pretty good in this one.
Please use that word in the worst way possible.
Plural noun.
Plural noun. Ass hairs.
Oh.
Why not? Another plural noun.
Oh. Pepperoni sticks?
Okay.
Why not?
It really is the embarrassment of riches. Like there are too many words out there.
And another plural noun.
Oh, good Lord. That's not a noun, is it?
It's a noun. Problems is a noun.
Oh. problems. Intimacy problems.
Intimacy, yeah. Go all the way if you're going to do it.
Intimacy problems?
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Adjective.
Sweaty.
All right.
The fun part about this is also you find out who paid attention in grammar class in grade school.
Yeah. Everyone's Jared. Done well, so
I need a Jared. Yeah.
And another adjective.
Shitty.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. plural noun.
A piñata full of scorpions.
That's
not really a plural.
Oh, no. I guess it's not. It's a singular. Sorry, it's a plural. Yeah, the gerund is plural.
Pineapple scorpions.
I think just pulling these off of cards is kind of...
Don't pull them off of cards, Will.
Yeah.
Not right now. Let Alexis...
Taking a man's eyes and balls out and putting his eyes where his balls go and then his balls in the eye holes. Well, how is that card ever going to get played in Cards Against Humanity?
I don't know. It seems like there must be a valid way to play
it. I'm sure there is, but damn. I don't.
I like it.
That's a Brad
Schroeder card. Sounds like another plural noun.
Plural noun.
Erections?
All right, that's a good one. A number.
I'm looking at you guys. I don't know. Sorry.
You could just said erections.
Are you filling these directly into the thing, or are you putting them into the translation spectrum and then doing them there?
Translation spectrum?
Yeah, isn't there a two-part thing? Aren't you supposed to put them in the top and then...
You are, well, when you do it yourself, you're supposed to put them in here.
Oh, that's only for single play use.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A number.
64.
All right.
I like what you did there. See, we thought we were going to say one thing, and then you pulled back at the last minute.
I like to infer
things.
He
did pull out the last minute.
Yeah.
A noun. Sorry. A noun. Glasses.
You
just looked at the side of the room and saw three people with glasses.
I'd like people to maybe think about you guys when they're thinking about erection, chubby nose hairs.
Ass hairs.
Plural
ass
noun.
Plural noun. Oh my God, there's so many in here.
I know, Jesus.
I put the cards away. There's no help out here.
Weasels.
All right, there you go. Weasels. Okay.
I'm helping you out.
Adjective.
Moronic.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Profession.
Oh, tampon tester.
Oh,
I like it.
Oh, this is going bad places.
Another profession.
Oh my God.
I think I just
bull semen collector.
All right.
So you that's what Red Bull does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it gives you wings.
Yeah. Someone's got to collect all that taurine, right? Noun.
Thanks, Felix.
Noun.
Gerund.
What did you say?
Gerund.
Gerund?
Gerund.
Okay. Plural noun.
How many more are there? Good God, man.
There's two more.
Oh, my goodness.
My Lord.
This one.
Pigtails.
Oh, this gross, Norm.
And one more. Sorry, adjective.
Itchy. No.
Moist.
Well, moist.
Damp.
Moist.
Yeah. Moist over damp. Moist. People don't like that word.
Moist or damp?
Moist is not.
I don't get why moist is a bad. I
get why people don't like it. It's just something not quite right about it.
There's a sound associated with it.
All right, let's see.
Yeah, I can't make.
I try not to look at the whole thing as I'm filling them in, so even I don't know what we're going to get.
So it's a surprise for everyone.
All right, read it with gusto.
This one is called "Why You Should Go to College." So maybe we'll all learn something here. I didn't go to college. It doesn't make me feel bad that I didn't go.
You should have gone to college.
You know, there's a good story about going to college.
I might have actually made.
I'm just checking in. It's 158, and the high bid remains $1,500.
All right. So by the time this is over, I think we'll be ready to close the auction.
We'll know the winner. Yeah. And if we get another bid, I'm going to interrupt you. So I apologize in advance.
I appreciate that. All right. Why you should go to college? Our American universities offer students many chubby courses that will prepare them to become professional asshairs. You can get a degree as a Bachelor of Pepperoni Sticks or take a regular liberal intimacy problems course. Or if you want to become a sweaty engineer, you can study shitty mathematics and differential erections. Then, after 64 years, if you want to continue your studies, you can write a glasses and become a doctor of weasels. When you get out into the moronic world, if you have a diploma from a university, you will be able to get a job easily as a tampon tester or even a ball semen collector. If you don't have a diploma, you may have to take a job as a gerund. Remember, it's important that you study hard in high school so you're able to do well on your college entrance pigtails. It is true that a little learning is a moist thing.
I feel like we all, you know, it's all right. I think differential erections.
Differential erections and shitty mathematics.
Yeah.
Those are both real things that we were talking about earlier.
Those are real things that people study.
Differential erections.
Differential erections. Yeah. If your differential erection lasts more than 4 hours, you should consult a medical professional. Alexis got you, sir.
How did I get by in life for this?
Lovely to see you, sir.
Oh, thank you. It was great being here.
And it looks like, well, hold on. I'm going to call it in about minute here.
Are you calling?
We haven't gotten any new emails.
The auction?
So,
$159.
Your donation didn't go down while it was on, right?
Let's roll over the recording.
No, so while we wait for the last, it looks like, give me like 30 seconds. Alexis, thank you so much for coming out. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Awesome. I miss you guys.
We miss
really
you too. We can find your work on giantbomb.com, correct?
Well, you can. Yeah.
You drive farms and ride trains and all sorts of weird shit over there and make websites too, it turns out.
Yeah, well,
thank you for coming out, sir.
Pleasure.
And pleasure. We'll be back with more Oktoberfest in just a bit. This is the end of the eighth hour.
How did that happen?
So we're hey, guess what? That means it's time for more exclusive live stream content just for you. If you're watching this on YouTube, then go to the next video now. Bye.
Wow. Eighth hour. That's a...